This isn't for a contest or prize money. This is straight out of love.
We love the Cat-Cast. Baldy, fat, and bone crash. We love the Cat-Cast. Jeepy, shipwreck, wombat. Go Cat-Cast.
All right, everybody. Boy, are you in for a special treat. Welcome to CatCast number 202, the not-so-limited E3 Collector's Edition. Hello, Shipwreck. Hello, Wombat. Welcome to the special occasion.
Hi. Oh, I didn't know that was addressed to us to speak.
Well, I don't know. Whatever you want. Shipwreck came up with this good plan, and now I will tell you about the plan. The plan is... What you're listening to right now is a brand new show recorded, I don't know even what day it is.
This is the most live of what you're going to hear.
Right. So this is June 23rd or 24th, depending on what part of the world you're in. It's being recorded then. Now, after this show, it will be immediately followed by the, I guess you could call it the lost E3 CatCast that we recorded last week in L.A., Now, the quality, first of all, I couldn't upload it from L.A. because there was just no bandwidth, but the quality isn't that great, and I'm sure, I don't just mean the audio quality, probably the content quality may not be that great either.
You mean we're not full of vigor?
Well, I remember your eyes were rolling back in your head during the recording.
And that's because I was tired the whole time.
Well, of course.
And the whole time, I mean the entire 5 days that I was in Los Angeles.
I know, and I don't think any of our voices were particularly strong. Either, which also helps. But so that's going to come...
And we were rushing to get to a dinner reservation.
Exactly. There were a lot of factors.
There was a canoe waiting for us.
And... Okay, wait, what was that? Where do we go?
We went to get a canoe.
Oh, we had the appetizer canoe at Roy's or something.
Yes.
So after you listen to the E3 CatCast, if you're still not dead... Or if you're still awake, then we've provided all the audio booze that we recorded from the show right there on all in one big happy file. So if you notice this file is a lot bigger than previous ones, that is the reason why. And of course,
can you put it all to like a PowerPoint with all the pictures we took? So this could be like the background music to it too.
Well, I think I'll just put a link.
Extra special edition.
How about a link?
$10.
How about a link to Flickr in the show notes?
That'll do.
That's about the best I think I could do. Anyway, one of the things that we didn't talk about on the E3 show was, I guess, asking Wombat what he thought of the whole E3 experience. I don't think.
I had a great time. I mean, it was E3 was a lot of fun. Hanging out with you guys was a lot of fun. I mean, that was. But wasn't that really the real reason why all three of us were there?
Well, that's not why
maybe
I was
for
there.
You.
For you, maybe.
Wow, way to hurt my feelings right away. No, actually, let's call it like it is. Shipwreck was the one who got all emotional at Roy's Hawaiian. And he's like, no, we need to go back to Cheapy's room and watch Smokey and the Bandit 2 as a family.
And 3.
And 3. By the way, Smokey and the Bandit 3 is the worst movie ever made.
Well, you just watched the back of my head while I was editing the CatCast.
Yeah, well, you tried to.
Yeah, that was brutal, by the way.
I understand that. No, I mean, I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I got to see all that E3, all the trappings, and yeah.
You got the attention. You got enough attention from people?
Enough. I wasn't really looking for attention this time.
Oh. You get to meet people that you were looking forward to meeting?
I did get to meet a lot of people that I was looking forward to meeting. Not everybody, but oddly enough, other people that I wanted to meet that I didn't are all based out of New York. So,
So you can meet those anytime. Yeah. I
can meet them anytime.
One of my worries is that from time to time, I say stuff about people on this show, and I never really remember what I've said. if I'm meeting somebody for the first time. And I usually remember after I walk away. I'm like, oh, I said not so nice stuff about this dude. So that's always a problem, but I usually don't remember it until after the meeting. But I don't know. I mean, I thought it was, I had a really good time. The CAG party was the first time we ever did something like that on that type of scale. I mean, we did that Dave and Buster's thing, but that was nothing, right? I mean, we had 350 people show up for the CAG party at the Golden Gopher. A rousing success.
It was big. It's still strange to me to have my picture taken, like for people to pose with me for a picture.
Right. And you did that a lot probably that night.
That and during E3, like we were stopped several times. Yeah.
Yeah. All three of us.
Which is very cool. I'm very cool with that.
Of course.
Me too. Yeah. No, it's fun.
So yeah, was E3 what you expected, Wombat? Was that what?
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing that was interesting. Yeah, you know, this year I went to PAX, and it's very strange to compare the two, where it is like PAX is really just a mini E3. So going to E3 is like, wow, this is just like PAX, but huge.
But three times the size.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird in that sense, but I don't know. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I got this. There wasn't anything like crazy exciting at E3 this year. So it's not like there was any big, huge announcement that was like, oh my God, I can't believe that the Xbox 362 is coming out.
Well, the 3DS, which we'll talk about later, some people might be excited by that. Would you say, talking about your expectations, did I smoke more or less weed than you expected?
Maybe a little more.
More, good. I'm glad I could live up to your expectations.
Because it was kind of like, hey, it's me and Shipwreck and Cheech. Well, meet Chi-Chi D.
I thought you actually smoked less this year than last year.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
If you know that Cheepy's staying in a hotel and you want to find him, just look for the room with the towel stuffed under the door.
Well, you can't see it from the outside.
I know. It's still a funny joke.
Like, maybe. I think so. I mean, I had a good time. It was a lot of fun seeing all my friends and hanging out with you guys and checking out the games and... I don't know.
Your friends and us.
And you. Well, you know what? They bring up a good point. Because one of the things that I realized while at the... Actually, I don't think I realized it until maybe after I got back home. Was that... And this is not meant to... You know, please don't take this the wrong way, Wombat. But the fact of the matter is, like, I don't know you all that well. I mean, we do this show every week and we talk about video games for an hour and a half once a week. But... You know, I was only in New York for a few months before I moved to Japan, where I knew you. You know, and we did shows there too, but we didn't hang out like a lot, right?
No, not a lot.
So the fact of the matter is that I actually know Shipwreck better because we've gone to, this is our third E3 together. So I've spent, before this E3, I've spent 2 weeks with Shipwreck, basically just me and him.
It depends. I mean, because we saw each other at least once a week for about almost a year.
No. You're insane, dude.
How long did we start doing the show before you left?
We started in August, and I left at the end of October.
Ah, so I guess it just feels like it was
an eternity.
Yeah. So maybe you know Shipwreck a week longer than me. I'll give you that.
Well, but it's pretty intensive week, you know. It's an intensive week of Shipwreck.
That's why he kept on whispering for me to sit next to him when we got on buses and stuff.
That was
cold.
Somebody actually asked a question about that in the CAG bag from the pictures. Anyway, I don't know. I just thought about that. I don't know. There was no real point to it, but the point is that...
That you like Shipwreck better than
right.
me. No, that's cool.
That was the point. Shipwreck has watched me smoke more weed than you've watched me smoke, so that's the big difference.
That is true.
But anyway, so for this show, what I thought we would do is we would make it primarily question-focused. So we got a lot of questions about E3 from the audience. Of course, we're going to talk about the stuff that we normally talk about on the show, the latest news and new releases and all that stuff, but there will be a lot of questions about E3. So let's get this party started with Shipwreck telling us about the new releases.
Oh, wait. Before that, I did want to... this is where we talk our personal story. So
right.
I wanted to talk about this dream I had last night. Now, I don't remember if you guys were actually in it or not, but I kind of have a slight history of talking in my sleep and sometimes I get up and walk around in my sleep. Like, Gretchen's woken up before and I've been just like standing in the corner, just staring at the corner, smothering stuff.
I wish you did that at E3.
Well, you wouldn't know. We're not in the same room. Maybe
you wound up in my room.
So, I didn't sleep well at all last night. And it was kind of one of those dreams where you're like half conscious. Like, you kind of think you're dreaming, but you're not really sure. So I get up. I got up a little bit late this morning because I wasn't sleeping well. And I come downstairs, and then Mrs. Shipwreck comes down later, and she just kind of like looks at me and goes, "So how'd you sleep last night?" And I'm like, "Man, I slept awful. Like, I just had all these dreams, like, where I couldn't fall asleep, and something was just constantly irritating me." And like, she's like, "Yeah, like, I woke up and you were like waving your arms around, and you were like muttering like something that sounded like later." And I'm like, "Oh, so that dream was real. I was dreaming about Kinect and fighting Darth Vader." I was getting frustrated because I was laying down and I couldn't play Kinect right. So right. Like, I was hanging off my bed, like waving my arm off the bed. And then I was like sitting up in bed and just like doing lightsaber like thrusts.
Did you try putting your hand lower and a little bit forward? Because that's what worked in E3.
That's an inside joke, which we'll tell you about. We'll tell you about that later.
So yes, Kinect haunted my dreams last night.
It was a nightmare. You had a nightmare about Kinect.
I'm not kidding about it either.
A nightmare.
I had a 5-day nightmare about Kinect. It was called E3 2010, and I was awake for the whole thing. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Well, I mean, that's a good point.
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking, because you brought this up before. You know, Shipwreck stayed at my house twice. Well, no, he stayed at my house once, and then we met up in the city that other time. There's a good chance I may have spent more time with Shipwreck than I have with you also.
I believe it.
I get around.
So there you go. Right. Yeah, look at that. So I like Shipwreck better than you two.
Well, just because you spent more time with him doesn't mean you like him better.
Maybe I do now anyway.
Right. I don't blame you. You got to remember.
New releases now?
Let's do the new releases.
All right. So
we'll discuss my feelings later.
Yeah, we'll get past that. Big release this week is Transformers War for Cybertron. Which I played a little bit of the multiplayer demo, but I haven't checked out the single player yet, but I should be getting this in for review.
I played the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. It's all right.
It was okay, but it got good reviews. The game got very good reviews, especially for a Transformers game.
Good. IGN seemed to like it. What did they give it? I'm curious.
A 9, I believe.
They had a pretty large booth sponsored by IGN with about 12 Transformers kiosks right next to the Starbucks at E3.
Well, you know, they did own E3, so...
They took it over. I don't know if they owned it. Maybe.
Yeah, but, it's got an 84 on Metacritic right now.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to playing that and seeing if I like it. Also this week, Puzzle Quest 2 for the DS. I was a big fan of the original Puzzle Quest.
Me too.
I don't know if I think need we all a were. Sequel. Like, I'm kind of good.
Is it the same style of gameplay, or do they change that up?
How much can... I don't know. But I'm not, like, jumping for joy that a new version of Puzzle Quest is coming out. I'm sure it's good.
You know, it might be good, though, speaking of puzzles. What about Risk?
On Xbox. That's
kind on Xbox. Of a puzzle.
That's a puzzle game now?
It is in Segway world, it is.
the land of Segway world, where...
In the magical land of Segway world.
Where we reach for straws.
Exactly. And speaking of Transformers, what do you think of Risk Faction?
Let's transform our discussion to Risk.
Have any of us tried it yet?
No, I didn't try it.
Yeah,
no.
I downloaded it. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. Looks good. I'm sure it's good. It's Risk.
I did buy an XBLA game, though, over the weekend.
Snoopy?
No, I bought Splosion Man for $5.
That's a good game.
It's hard.
Suck it up.
It gets really hard, and you'll stop
it
playing
does get
like
really
I did.
Hard. I think, yeah, I'd counted it at one point, and there was like 40 something perfect jumps you had to make in a row at one level.
I remember, and that's when I stopped playing when you told me
right.
that.
Yeah,
not when I got to that point when you told me that happens.
I finished level one.
Yeah,
so
it gets hard.
Good work.
What else?
Duke Nukem is also Manhattan Project is coming out for Xbox Live Arcade. And Sam and Max, The Devil's Playhouse, is coming out for PlayStation Network, or is out for PlayStation Network, I guess. And then also for the DS, I got in today Dragon Ball Origins 2, which I am not a Dragon Ball guy in the least. Like, the only experience I have with Dragon Ball is my first...
porno. Head.
Yeah, Dragon Ball porno. I'm very familiar with the hentai series.
Right.
My first roommate in college was a big pothead, and he just sat around and watched Dragon Ball all the time. So that's my only history with the game. Or with the series, I guess. The game is actually kind of fun. It's kind of like Zelda, a little bit. Like, it's not a fighting game or anything. It's all stylus-based, kind of like Spirit Tracks or Phantom Hourglass. Hmm. So I played a little bit of it. It seems okay so far. I'll keep playing it.
Cool.
And that is it, pretty much, for the new releases. Not much this week.
Okay. Well, in that case, we shall move right along to some shopping and CAG news. You should know about this Gamefly used game sale. You know, they do this every month, basically. They take a bunch of games, drop the prices, and offer free shipping on them. And a lot of them sold out already, but you want to keep your eye on it in case they come back in stock, because they had Bayonetta for $360 for $15, which I'll even recommend that. Like, you should probably buy it for $15. But there's a lot of great deals like that. So just hit the front page of CAG and you'll see that. Also, a number of contests that you need to know about. We're giving away 5 Xbox 360 250 gigs. I don't know, slim. They're not really slims, right? They're not. It's not called slim.
360, no, they're called nothing. 250. They're just 360
250s. Right. Actually, we're only giving away 4 because we gave away one already. So
should I talk about that now? I have one of those.
I was going to say, you picked one up this week.
I did.
Wow. I didn't get mine. I'm supposed to get a free one, and I didn't get it.
Yeah. Keep holding your breath.
Yeah, it's not coming.
I did that GameStop deal where you trade in a 360 and you get $100 in credit towards the new one.
Okay. Sounds good.
Which isn't bad, since I had 3 of the old 360s around because of various Red Ring issues.
You have to give them everything, the hard drive and all that?
No, not the hard drive. Just the AV cables, the power cable, and a controller.
Okay.
So I didn't think it was that bad of a deal. And then I had some other games that I traded in. So
that's not bad at all, because an arcade is $150 now.
Right. No, it's not bad at all. And like, the one I traded in, it was still in working condition, but it was getting like... It was starting like to show signs, like occasionally games would freeze up and stuff. So I'm not sad that right. That one's gone. And I have this new one that it's pretty nice. I like the form factor. I like that it's really, really quiet. It still makes some noise when you spin up a disc, like when you're reading off a disc constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But we were playing, Gretchen and I were playing some Tales of Vesperia. And even before we installed it to the hard drive, it was really still really quiet, even reading off the disc. But if you're going constant, like once you're installing something, you're going to get a hum there. But I like it a lot. I did the transfer thing from my old hard drive to the new one, the internal one.
It comes with the transfer cable?
It does not.
It does not.
Yeah, it doesn't even come with HD cables.
Wait a minute. So how would one, let's say I don't have that. How would I get that?
They actually sell them in the stores now.
Oh my God!
They are $20 to buy it in stores, and
yeah, it's partially the Xbox 360 250 and Rape Kit sold separately,
and no HDMI cable.
No HDMI.
Not even a component cable.
Yeah, it's composite only out of the box. No HD. It is not HD ready.
It is HD ready for you to buy a cable.
It's ready for you to spend more money.
Yes, it's definitely ready for that. But so I picked up the $20 transfer kit because I'm not sure where my old transfer kit is.
Okay.
And I wanted the instant gratification. So they got me on that. But it has more USB slots, so I could plug in my HD DVD drive.
It's got the Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi N.
It's got Wi-Fi built in.
So an N. N, the N standard. N,
yes.
Last one.
I used Ethernet, so I didn't even try that out.
Right.
So I plugged in my Vision Cam, my HD DVD drive, and I still have a couple USB spots open. So, yay.
Watching a lot of HD DVDs lately?
I was going to say, mm-hmm. Your HD DVD, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It. That's watching actually the Matrix. What I use for my DVD player, because I don't like using the 360 or the PS3 as a DVD player, just because I don't want to wear out the drives.
Gotcha.
I also think both get very loud when you play DVDs.
Right, exactly. And the HDDVD drive is actually pretty quiet compared.
Well, it's, yeah, because it's separate and it's small, so I can understand that. Yeah,
I'm not that excited about the new console, even though supposedly they're sending me a free one. And I guess it's because I'm in sort of a unique situation in that I have an American 360 and I have a Japanese 360. And it's very convenient for me if there's some game that's region locked and I need to play it on a specific console. All I got to do is pop my hard drive off, pop it on the other one, and I'm good to go. With this thing, right, you can't do that.
Well, you can use USB drives now, though, so you kind of get around it that way.
Oh, so I could put...
like a thumb drive.
Oh, USB thumb drive, right.
But yeah, up to 16 gigs, I think.
Oh, but that's not going to have all my stuff on it.
But you could transfer your profile. I'm not saying it's super convenient, but
right,
you could transfer your profile with your save files.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't like that.
I know.
I'm out. Anyway, the point
you're,
of the
you're
point
out,
of this
getting one
is that we're giving them away. So you just go to the contest page on CAG and you can enter that contest. We're also giving away $10,000 in GameStop gift cards, and you can also learn about that on the contest page. I think we only got about $8,000 worth of gift cards left, so hurry.
Only 8,000, huh?
Only 8,000, so get in on that. And I don't know. That's pretty much it for the shopping and CAG news. We're still, we had a lot of requests because during E3 we had this Twitter box on the front page of CAG where you could
see. I liked that. It was
nice. It's back now.
Oh, good.
So it should be there for everybody right now. If you don't like it, you can just click the X and it'll disappear off the front page. Or you can move it around. You can drag it and move it.
So if you want to see more of me making fun of soccer,
right, that's where you
that's
go.
That's the place to go.
Right. The only so that's pretty cool. And I don't know, let's do a quick plug for our friends at godaddy.com and then we'll move on. So godaddy.com for all your website registration and hosting needs. We've got a couple coupon codes for you. 10% off any order, CAG10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with coupon code CAGDOMAIN. That's godaddy.com. And also our friends at GameStop also want you to know that they have a coupon code for $15 off and free shipping on orders over $75. Use coupon code 15OFF75. That's one word. And that expires June 30th of this year, as in a week from now.
That's soon.
All right, let's move on to some multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff.
All right. That Medal of Honor event I went to, the embargo finally lifted over E3.
Awesome.
So does anybody know anything about Medal of Honor now?
It looks a lot like Battlefield.
The multiplayer does, yes.
Right.
Right. It's made by the same people.
That would explain
correct.
It.
Correct. It is by DICE. That beta is going on for the PS3 and the PC right now and the 360 soon. From what I hear and what I read, it is the same stuff that I played for about 6 hours when I went out to the event.
Hmm.
So it's the one combat mission where you either play as the insurgents or the U.S. troops, and you have to capture 5 different points as you kind of move up this hill. It's a lot of fun. I know that much. And then the other mode is a traditional deathmatch in a kind of beat-up city map, but and that map is really well designed because you kind of all funnel back together, but there's still a lot of areas to explore, and there's multiple, like, there's, you can get up on the roofs and in between in the windows and then down on the ground, and you can kind of jump from rooftop to rooftop if you want.
Are there vehicles in this game?
There are vehicles in combat mission. There's a tank that the attackers get in and use to move their way up the hill.
Oh, okay.
In the deathmatch mode that's out there right now, there are no vehicles, but I really, those are the only 2 levels I've seen. I'd have to go back and look at my notes to see if I don't think they were commenting on vehicles in the multiplayer. There are vehicles in the single player, which I haven't played any of that, but the single player looks really good.
All right.
Like the lighting effects and everything. You guys saw some of it at the Sony event, the Sony press conference.
We did?
Yeah, they showed some of it because they had that exclusive agreement where they're doing the limited edition.
So this game doesn't come out till October, I just saw.
Yep, October.
So maybe people will be tired of Battlefield by then and be ready to move to this, I guess. I don't know.
It's somewhere in the middle of Call of Duty and Battlefield.
Right.
Like it kind of falls in the middle. And hopefully the 360 beta will be out soon and then we can all play it and actually everybody can talk about it next week.
Well, and this comes out, so it comes out in October, that would be after the new Call of Duty, right? After Black Ops. In the scheme of things.
God, to tell you the truth, I'm so confused on release dates and everything now.
Black Ops is November.
Yeah.
It's November. Okay. I thought it was September for a second. Okay. So that's smart of them to get it out before.
Mm-hmm. You got the hookup on the beta codes, Ship?
I have a beta code for me, but if you have Battlefield in a VIP code, you should have access to it, I think.
Oh, okay. I got that.
I think that's how it works.
Okay, cool. What else?
I got this poetry chat book. Do you know what a chat book is? Because I did not.
A chat book?
Chap. C-H-A-P.
No.
I'm still not exactly sure what it is, but it came in a DVD case that looks like a Sega CD case. And this is by a CAG, CAG Salmon Day. And what it is it's in a little almost instruction book size book of poetry about video games called You Oughta Be in Pixels, My Lives in Video Games. And I thought I'd read a selection from it.
You're going to read us poetry right now?
Yes.
Are you wearing your smoking jacket?
I have my scarf on.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Is that good enough?
Want to make sure you're dressed appropriately to read poetry.
Yeah. I think I'm doing well. There's such topics covered as Double Dragon, Parasite Eve, Space Ace, Disgaea, Final Fantasy VII, Halo. But what I'm going to read, because it's the shortest and one of my favorites, is The Next Tetris. Let me flip to the right page here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the stanzas in The Next Tetris are in the form of Tetris blocks as they come down the page.
This is a book that you can buy somewhere, or just some guy made
it? I think he was selling it for $5. I'll have to give you the link or something to it. But yeah, I think he's selling them on his own or maybe through a little company or something. Mm-hmm. But here we go. The Next Tetris. Hour upon late hour. Push near left side. Flip them both ways, then slam them home. Lose this game also. Wife wins each time with only left hand. More rows move away. Damn, they fall fast. Game over last time. Both know very well when this ends soon, they will make love.
That's beautiful. Thank you
very much, CAG Salmon Day, for sending me a copy of your poetry. I greatly enjoyed it.
That's very nice. What else we got? Oh, this is me. I put this up here. On Live, which is that streaming gaming service where...
Yes, I am familiar with it. They had a large booth at the
E3. A very large booth at E3, which I didn't actually check it out. Because I don't think I can play it in Japan anyway, so it doesn't affect me. But they've announced their pricing. So they're doing like a rental thing. So you can rent games or buy games. So a rental basically is, for example, Batman Arkham Asylum, $5 for 3 days. Or $7 for 5 days. That seems to be like the rental structure pricing. Although it says demo. What does demo mean?
I think it means you could either get
Oh, you can get a demo. You can get a demo. Demo is available. Okay. So that's... I mean, what do you think about that, Wombat? Like, what do you think about that pricing for a rental of a PC game?
Well, I guess the real question is, what am I paying for? What's my price of entry on top of that? I mean, isn't that also relatively steep? Or are they losing that?
Well, no, you need to pay for a membership also.
Yeah, I think it's free for the first year if you signed up.
That's what they're trying to do, I think.
I signed up for it, but I'm on the waiting list.
Right, I just signed up for the for that too.
Why not? Huh?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's my answer.
I mean, okay. It says
it doesn't do anything for me.
I don't know. It's pretty cool though, because you'll be able to play PC games on your MacBook.
Well, yeah, if it works.
If it works, that's I guess a big if. It's an interesting concept. I want to see if it really does work. I like the idea that you can rent the games, because look, for some people, 5 days is plenty to finish Batman Arkham Asylum, and they don't really need to own it. They just want to play through it. And for $7, maybe that's okay. I don't know. I'm interested to see how it does.
You can probably pick it up for $20 on a console.
Okay, that may be a bad example, but for newer games, whatever. Let's move on. Speaking of money, Wombat, are you going to cry because DC Universe Online they announced they're going to have a $15 monthly subscription fee?
Have they announced that that's on the PS3 also?
I mean, I don't know. Let's see. I'm reading it.
Because I heard about that on the PC, but I didn't hear about that confirmed for the PS3 also.
I think so. I mean, this post that I'm reading on Joystick doesn't say that it's only for PC.
Yeah, forget it. I'll never play this game.
Did you check it out at E3? I forget.
I've seen it before, right. And I heard it didn't change much. Like, right. I kind of walked past it. I saw people playing it, but I didn't play it again. But, I mean, really, do I want to spend $15 a month to play a game where Batman tells me what to do, but I don't play as Batman?
Right, you can go to sleep and just dream about that for free.
Catwoman's robbing a bank. You should do something about that. But wait, you're Batman.
Yeah, but I'm busy.
I'm busy. I got this computer I'm working on.
Right.
I got this long line of people here waiting for me to tell them what to do.
Exactly.
These guys paid their $15 and I got to tell them what to do. Otherwise, they're going to be pissed. I'm definitely not interested. And I knew you wouldn't be once you heard the price. Plus, you got to pay $60 to buy the game.
Yeah, exactly. If there's going to be like a monthly service, it should be a free download.
That's not a terrible idea.
Of course not, because then at least if you only play it for, even if you played it for, you know, 6 months, you'd feel like you probably got your money's worth.
And you know what? If you really have a lot of faith in your product, and you're launching something new, that's a great idea, because you'll easily make that money. That's $60 that you get from the retail side of things. That's nothing compared to the subscriptions that you're getting.
But if you're already turning off your customers by charging them what they're going to feel like is double, then you've already lost a huge chunk of audience. It's one or the other, exactly. By charging that much for the release price, it makes me feel like they're anticipating that you're not going to play it for very long.
Yeah. Like, if they were really confident, they say, hey, our game is so strong, we're going to release this as a download, and we'll make it, like, either free or super cheap. Because we know people will be hooked on it, and they'll be laying out that $15 a month, and that's where the money is. But
exactly that, and I'm not. You know, my problem with this also is also, you know, it sounds like I would probably enjoy it, but I have no interest in playing with people.
You hate people.
I hate people,
except for Shipper.
So the fact, even him sometimes. You know, so the idea that I would have to play or certain missions probably require more than one person.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
All right. Well, fair enough. We're up. By the way, I didn't mention, but we're on the Sony part of the show right now, in case you haven't figured that out. This is something that I actually was thinking about before I found the article. In fact, I was talking to my wife about it. You know, Sony, as we all know, announced all the Move pricing at E3, and of course, some people say, "Hey, it's pretty expensive when you start adding up the multiple players and all the different parts of it." But the real thing that sort of stuck with me is like, boy, this is confusing. How are people going to figure this shit out when you know, somebody's mom walks into GameStop because their kid told them they want Move, and they have to buy, like, all right, you can buy...
Could you imagine being the parent of that kid? What do you want for Christmas, Billy? I want the PlayStation Move. You're not my son.
you disown them right on the spot?
Right on the spot.
I mean,
I've actually already seen this. Like, I was in a GameStop when I was buying my 360. There was somebody in there that was wanting to pre-order Move, and the GameStop employees were confused on what came in the $99 bundle.
I thought everything comes with it. A lot of people are. Right?
Doesn't
everything?
No.
No,
there's
not everything.
There's no secondary controller?
There's no navigation controller. Oh, yes. Navigation. It comes with the camera, the Move wand, and the sports game.
I see.
Which is very confusing. Why would... I know why they do it like that, but you would think there would be a bundle that says, hey, stupid, this is everything you need.
Complete bundle. So there is no complete bundle?
There is no complete bundle.
There is no complete bundle. If you want the subcontroller, you're shelling out $30 regardless.
Right, yeah, I'm looking at on Amazon right now. It looks like there's a... Okay, there is a... Oh, this is pretty weird. So there's going to be a PlayStation Move console bundle coming out in September for $400.
Okay, what comes in that?
But it doesn't come with the secondary controller. It comes with everything but the secondary controller.
And I know there's a million Sony people out there screaming, oh, you can use the six axis or the DualShock as that second controller.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can use that.
That's going to be hard to do with one hand, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Not very comfortable.
It's going to be a little awkward. Not ideal, but you can do it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that they need to, they got some work to do, I think, so people understand what they need. And, you know, there should be an all-inclusive
If it was the camera, the wand, and the subcontroller with a game for $100.
That's not bad.
It's not terrible. Like, it's like, well, you know, it does come with the game. And then they maybe sell, like, the same version without the game or just the wand and the subcontroller for, I don't know, like $60.
Right.
And then you'd have something.
Yeah, well, you remember at E3, they announced, when they were announcing the pricing and putting the slides up, they put up the slide for the Move controller, you know, the thing with the ball on it, and it said $49.99, and everyone's, like, clapping. And then they put on the next slide is, you know, and here's the camera and the navigation controller, and people started groaning. So
the odd thing is, too, like, the PlayStation Eye has been on the market for a long time, so... A good amount of people have that. I mean, it's been down to like $15 with
I have one.
Like, yeah. But there's no way, like, I can't take advantage of that bundle unless I want another camera now. Right. So in order for me to get the navigation controller, the Move controller, and Sports Champions, the sports game, let me do the math here. That's $120.
Right.
That's $120 if I want to do that. So I'm paying a $20 premium there if I want a bundle.
You could spend an extra $10 and get a camera, another camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you need a webcam or something. It's not a bad webcam, I don't think. Anyway, so...
you don't think.
Let's take some questions about Sony from our fans here.
Sure, caller number one, you're on the air. What's your question?
Well, these actually come from Twitter, Wombat.
Oh.
This is not a live show.
It isn't?
Sports Craze 2.
There go the pants.
Sports Craze 2 says, don't know if you got to play the Move, but can you tell me if the sports game is fun with only the single wand? I didn't play the sports game, but I can tell you it's not fun no matter how many wands you have. I can't imagine that anything is fun about it.
And people keep talking about that sorcery game like it's going to be the second coming of the PlayStation 3.
Right, it's a children's game.
It doesn't look any good.
We saw it live. It looks all right.
No, it doesn't. It looks like a middle of the road Harry Potter game with Waggle.
It does. Right. Well, that's the problem. It does. It looks like a knockoff Harry Potter game.
The problem is, like, I didn't see a single. And this is, you know, I'm really trying not to be overly negative, and it's a real challenge after going to this E3 where almost.
Well, no, based on the pricing and our previous statements, this will be the last time we talk about Move.
No, we can't. Obviously, can't do that.
We can't do that. I'm going to buy one of these things. Just so that about it.
Yes, no, I don't want to talk about
it. It's very newsworthy in that there are, you know, two major companies are trying to change the way that we play video games, basically to
and I'm telling you both that by December, we're not talking about it anymore.
Because there's going to be nothing worth it. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Did you see a single game that either on Kinect or Move that was like, wow, that's, I got to get it?
Now, there were a lot of people talking about the game that Harmonix is making.
Dance Central.
Who cares? Yeah,
but again, that's a game that even if it didn't require any type of extra peripheral, I still wouldn't play it.
Right.
So,
I mean, yeah, really. I mean, is it really but that?
I'm going to buy it. I'm sure I'll have Dance Central in my house.
Well, you buy everything. That's your thing. You buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
It pains
me to do so, though, but I feel like I need to at least have them in the house so I can do reviews for the games and everything.
I did play one game on the move, and that was Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition. And, you know, Resident Evil 5 controls, when you're just using a regular controller, sort of confusing. So imagine trying to do that on the move. It was basically like rocket science. I couldn't.
I refer to Resident Evil 5 using the move as pointing at the ceiling, the game.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is going on?
I played some John Daly Golf. That was my move experience.
Were you moved?
Concept-wise, okay. It's just that game needed some polish, though. Like, the thing is, like, if you just want to have like a driving game, like a golf ball driving game, to see how far you can hit it, fine. That works great. Like, I can just grip it and rip it and hit it like close to 400 yards or whatever. But once you get into the chipping and putting and all the intricacies of like putting spin on the ball, and there's like, it's just a lot easier to do with a controller or with a golf club.
I don't know. I think I would just rather go to a driving range. Hit some balls.
Well, no doubt. Yeah, but
I mean, think about how many times you can go to a driving range for the price of move and or connect and a game. It's a lot of trips to a driving range.
Well, for the move, the games that I will get, I'll get the Time Crisis game because I like light gun games. I'm sure it'll do a fine job of that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be serviceable. I do miss light gun games. But
wouldn't you rather just have a gun and not a wand with a ball on it?
If you look at GameStop, they're selling the PlayStation Move shooting attachment, which is a gun that you can stick the wand in.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
There's going to be all kinds of plastic accessories that you can spend money on. And then I will probably try out Tiger Woods, just because I think they'll put a high-quality product out there.
Wow, I see it. Move shooting attachment. Oh, God.
Are you going to get Dead Space so you can play Extraction?
I did like Extraction on the Wii, so I'll probably... That's coming to PSN, Extraction is. So
okay,
you'll
Yoda.
Just buy it.
I might just buy it there. I don't know. I'll see. I want to play Dead Space 2 as well. So.
All right, let's get some more of these questions out of the way. C.T.H. Ellis wants to know if we thought of a good insulting name for Move yet. Well, I was thinking, you know, we came up with Bowel Movement, and that's not that great. But I was thinking, if Natal or Kinect is the shitbox, why can't this be the shit stick? No.
Isn't calling it a Sony product insulting enough?
Move is
wah
bad,
wah. That was
I don't even know why you would. Why is that funny?
Because it's funny because someone somewhere got really mad and started typing a
Sony
post.
Sony makes good products. Well,
they do. They make fine products. I'm just being a jerk.
Right. Monster Mag wants to know, if you had $130 to spend, which motion system would you purchase? Kinect or Move? You must choose one. Say why. Wombat, you're up. You must. Well, first of all, Kinect right now is $150. They haven't formally announced the price yet, but...
Yeah, so I can't even buy a Kinect.
So you can't even... If it indeed is $150, you can't buy a Kinect.
Say you have $150 to spend.
Yeah, let's make it $150.
Well, with the Move, I could get like two games with that then.
Well, you can get... Well, if you buy the $100 bundle...
The $100 bundle and the sub controller that'll come with the sports game, and I could probably pick up Time Crisis for another $30-$40.
No, the bundle is $100.
It's $100 for the bundle and then $30 for the sub controller. So yeah, that's right.
You only got $20 left.
So then I can get Dead Space Extraction on the PSN. I'm sure that won't be more than $20.
All right.
So yeah, I think maybe I'll go with that. Get more gameage for my dollar. With Kinect, all you got is a camera. No games.
Right. I would, and of course, like we said, we don't know the price for sure. For me, and we're about to talk about the Kinect in a minute, I would definitely go, I would go Move. I have no interest in playing either of them, but if you say I must choose one, I will choose the Move, because I just, you know, what can you really do with Kinect? There's no buttons. Every game is going to be very limited in the gameplay experience. I mean,
and the one game we played felt like playing any camera game we've ever played. It didn't feel any different.
Right, right. And we're about to get to that. What about you, Ship?
I'd have to go with Move. There's no hardcore games for the Kinect right now. They didn't show one. The Star Wars thing is the closest thing, and that just looks like lightsaber on rails, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you did dream about it, so you're obviously interested.
It was a nightmare, though. It was a
nightmare. I don't want to play these motion control games. Help! Help, I'd rather walk around my house while I'm sleeping. Okay, so let's move on to Microsoft. And Arcade Stick wants to know how shitty was Project Shitbox in person.
As shitty can shit.
Well, we only played one game, and granted, the game was probably pretty shitty, and that was Game Party. And remember, Wombat made that joke before about holding his hand out straight. What was it? You hold your
straight down, a little bit forward.
The guy who is running the demo for Game Party, which is basically just a bunch of mini games that you play with a camera.
Which that guy was doing a great job, by the way, though, because like to have to be the one demoing that the whole time.
Right, it can't be easy.
He was super nice.
Yeah, but he had to tell Wombat four different times about how to just select something. Wombat could not figure out how to hold his hand down and in front of him.
No, I was doing it right every time. It would just be like, I would just have to move it slightly in one way or another. You had to be super accurate.
Right. Well, we talk about that more in the E3 show, if you stay tuned. But the answer to your question, Arcade Stick, was that it was pretty shitty. Very shitty.
And you could tell that other people, like when they were playing the game, like it wasn't doing what it was supposed to a lot either. Like you could see them, the people in that Sonic game were the best. The Free Riders.
Right.
Did you sit there and watch those people play that game?
I didn't.
Inside that, oh my gosh. I felt so sorry for them. They're just like in there just like flailing away.
It looks so tiring. No, does anybody really want to play video games and move around like that?
There was that one girl who was playing like a snowboarding game with crazy animals in it. And from the other side, it just looked like she was taking a dump on the floor.
It's really strange to me. Like, okay, you can make the argument, hey, it's a fun way to do exercise. I mean, to get a little bit of exercise if you're playing a game like, I don't know, what was the adventure?
Like yourself fitness, or like the fitness games.
The fitness games, I guess. But
the one that they showed at both the Microsoft press conference and the Ubisoft press conference, and at the Microsoft press conference, she was 5'8", and at the Ubisoft press conference, she was 5'6".
Yeah, something like that. There was 2 inches off. I'm not even talking about the fitness games. I'm talking about the games like the what was it, Kinect Adventures? What was that? With the rafting and all that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're going to say, oh, look, you're playing games and you're getting some exercise, but you're probably not getting enough exercise to really help you that much. You're getting just enough to annoy you.
I don't know. I think if you play Dance Central a lot,
that would be a workout. And the actual fitness games, you know, that are marketed that way, okay, yeah, I guess you'll burn some calories. But, you know, playing like the adventure game, you're just better off going to the gym and just get the job done. Don't mess around.
These aren't games. Like, we're talking about, like, just like things. Burning calories. That's not a game.
Well, Kinect Adventures, I'm talking about.
It's still not a game.
It's barely a game.
On Kinect is barely a game.
Right.
Maybe Connectimals? It's hard to say.
Connectimals.
Yeah. Maybe for like a younger set, that might be cool. But
maybe just buy them a cat instead.
I can't. I'm allergic.
Well, it's Connectimals for you, Wombat. Congratulations. You will have to love a image on a TV screen.
I can't wait to teach my daughter that tigers are safe to play with.
Right. Let's see. Which one of these things do we want to mention? So there is a new $200 Xbox 360 coming this fall. So if you don't need a 250 gigabyte model, you may want to hold out till this fall. I imagine there's going to be a hard drive in there. You think, because Microsoft, I think, probably wants to include hard drives on all these systems just to sell you stuff.
Yeah, which could be a really good deal then, because you can upgrade these, right?
Yes, the hard drives are removable.
So buying the smaller size hard drive would be the smarter way to go, because you can get hard drives cheap.
Maybe they'll pull out the Wi-Fi.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what it's going to be. The smaller hard drive and take out the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But
did you guys play the Crackdown 2 demo?
I did.
Oh, me too.
I didn't get a chance. I didn't even know it was up.
It's just like Crackdown 1, pretty much.
But it has like mission structures to it now. Like there's constantly like new missions kind of near you. And you need to like take out these guys so you can call in the helicopter or
It gives you stuff to do.
This thing. Yeah.
Be like, oh, you got to go do this now. And unlike the other one where it was just like sort of gang, there were the six gangs and you just had to wipe them out and then that's it.
I don't think I like the art style in this one as much. It's not as cel-shaded as the first game was. The first game had a very like graphic novel look to it.
Are you buying it, or they gave it to you for free or something?
Crackdown 2?
Yeah.
I'll get it one way or another.
Oh, you are.
I'll either get it. I think they're sending it to me, but if not, I'm sure I will pick it up because collecting orbs is pretty fun.
July 6th, it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Very soon.
Well, that is soon. I didn't realize that was coming out so soon.
Yep.
I didn't like the targeting system either.
No. It was awkward, and there was no way. Like, Red Dead Redemption did a really good job with it, where you can...
That's what I've been playing lately.
Yeah, you pull the left trigger multiple times, and you can switch targets pretty easily. This one didn't have that.
Yeah, you pretty much have to let go of the targeting and then get it faced towards somebody and then retarget. And the right analog stick just, like, changes the different parts on their body to shoot.
Right.
Rather than switch between people, which it seems like it'd be a little bit more useful if you were switching between people.
Yeah, I felt like I was missing a button somewhere.
Right. The traversal stuff's still fun.
Yeah, I'll probably... I guess I'll get it.
Co-op? Come on, it's going to be fun.
It'll be fun. I'll get it. How many people in co-op? It was a lot, right?
Four, I think. No clue.
I know with the demo, you can do a... there's like a glitch in the demo that makes it limitless. Like, the time limit turns off.
Right.
Because right now there's like a half hour time limit on it. Yep. But
I did play the full half hour, so I guess I didn't hate it. That's for sure. And if you get it from Amazon right now, they have a $10 credit, as I'm looking at their page, in case you're wondering. $56 for $10 credit. Blah. What else? Any of these that we need to talk about? Should we just hit these questions up? What do you think?
Questions.
Okay. These guys are killing me with these names. Kilrothius. He wanted to know if we thought Kinect was worth $150. Obviously, the answer is no. But Ship, he says, he saw that you took a picture with Nathan Fillion. Did you ask him if there are any plans for another Serenity or Firefly?
I did not. I pretty much said my wife is a big fan and asked him if he minded if I got a picture with him.
Excuse me, sir. I don't care much for you or your body of work, but my wife, on the other hand, does. Can I have a picture with you?
Pretty much. I do like Firefly and Serenity. I think he's a good actor. But the whole reason I took a picture with him was because I know Gretchen like would get a kick out of it. Otherwise, I would have just been like, oh, okay, there's Nathan Fillion. That's pretty cool.
You should have asked him if he's really going to be in the Avengers movie or not. That's the big rumor.
Who's he supposed to be?
I believe he may be playing Henry Pym.
Ant-Man?
There you go. Good work.
Look at me. I can't believe Chibi pulled that out.
Do you know, I was going to actually joke and say Ant-Man anyway, even before you said that guy's name.
Well, Ant-Man has a movie coming out, right?
There's an Ant-Man movie coming out where that one may be the Scott Lang Ant-Man. And that would be played by, the rumor on that one is that it might be played by maybe Edgar Wright, because not Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, because that's directed by Edgar Wright. And they do, you know, all those movies together. But who knows what'll happen?
It won't be as good as that Saturday Night Live sketch.
No, it will not be as good as that Saturday Night Live
sketch. Wow, you can shrink down to the size of an ant and still have normal human strength? Wow, normal human strength. let's see what else we got here. This is a good point from Akokonas. He says... thinks that Alan Wake DLC is taking too long to be released and feels that this is going to hurt them. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, the first free episode that's, you know, free for everybody who bought the game new is coming out at the end of July.
Boo, that is too long.
It's too long. Like, I'm forgetting what the game was about by then.
You play as some guy, some hipster who drinks coffee and shoots at people.
Right.
That's the game, flares. Right?
This should have been, like, almost ready to go when the game launched.
Right. And then you have the pay one come up in July.
That's weird.
It's pretty weird. I don't know what they were thinking there. Maybe it wasn't ready? Could that be? I mean, I don't know. It seems like a terrible strategy to me.
This stuff has to be ready. Like, it took them 5 years to get the game out. Like, they can't just be like, oh, yeah, we'll make some more game here in the next couple months.
And trust me, I love the game. I don't want to rip on it. But it's like, I thought it was June, end of June it was coming out. And then I looked again. I was like, whoa, July?
Whoa, July?
Did you guys get the new Mass Effect 2 DLC that came out this week?
No, but I saw it came out. Did you get it?
It's like $7.
What is it? Just some more missions
that have nothing to do with the story? Missions, I think. No, it's like side story or something. Yeah,
maybe.
Like, really? Like, back a few months ago, maybe, but...
Let's see.
Like I said, I've been too busy playing Red Dead. That's all I've been playing. It's really good. I do. I like it a lot. So...
How far are you? How many hours?
I have no idea. I just got into Mexico.
Oh, okay. So. Right, you got a ways to go.
Oh, I know. I do like the question that Vegan asked. I just think it's funny. Vegan goes, I just have one question. Does Microsoft think that no one has a coffee table between their couch and TV?
Well, I mean, iToy did the same thing. I mean, I remember I had iToy, and I remember moving my coffee table to play iToy.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Now, I know, like, judging by the distance, like, I've been in your living room, Wombat, and it's...
There's no living room.
What?
There's hardly any room in there.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's from your TV to your couch.
It's like 4 feet, if you're lucky.
It's about 2 yards.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's not much room in there for playing these type of games.
No, there is not. And my...
not as much room as they had set up at E3 to do this stuff.
And my coffee table is a leather ottoman thing. And it opens, so there's stuff in there. So yeah, it's kind of hard to move. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was pretty bummed about all this stuff. I just have no interest in motion control. And I think
I'm just going to set up a Kinect room in the Shipwreck Mansion, but...
right.
I'm just going to have a room dedicated to this stuff.
Of course. Motion control central.
I'm going to make it out of glass. It's going to be an expansion off the side of my house.
Well, that's a good idea, so all your neighbors can watch you have seizures. Let's move on to Nintendo. Dave Station says, are you guys annoyed that all Nintendo... That what? Are you guys annoyed at all that Nintendo has yet to announce a player's choice lineup for the Wii or DS? The Wii has been out almost 4 years, and the DS is going on its sixth year. I mean, you have new Super Mario Bros. DS game that came out in May of 2006, still has an MSRP of $35. You walk into your neighborhood Walmart or Target and see Super Mario Galaxy and Super Mario Galaxy 2 sitting side by side, both with the same $49.99 MSRP. And Super Mario Galaxy also came out in 2007. Thoughts? People still buying these games. That's the problem. I mean, Mario Kart for the Wii is still in like the NPD top 10 every month.
Super Mario Galaxy 1 does all right every month, too, I think.
That's the reason why.
They all do all right. That is it. I mean, as long as people are willing to pay for it, they're willing to sell it.
At full price.
Exactly.
At Cocomon wants to know what he says, Chibi, what would the next Zelda game have to do for you to be interested in it?
Two words, hand job.
Right. Zelda, the princess would have to come to my house and masturbate me. That is the only way I'd be interested in it. I mean, I didn't think it looked good at E3. I saw. I mean, I wouldn't say that was a good looking game. Would you? Am I crazy?
There's a reason why we didn't try it at E3.
Yeah, we had an appointment at Nintendo, and we're just the guy's like, "You want to see Zelda?" I'm like, "Huh."
Let's check out Donkey Kong.
Yeah, let's check out that 3DS. I mean, you'll hear us talk about the 3DS more in the next show, but Slykmecum wants to know if the 3DS has a release date, and it does not. But the rumor is that it's coming out this year in Japan, but next year in America. I was impressed with the 3DS and that the 3D effect worked. and some of that the augmented reality. Is that what you call it? Augmented reality stuff where you're that makes use of the camera. It worked. I mean, it really worked. The question is, can you make games that really, you know, proper games that use that technology, you know, and make those games good? I don't know.
Well, even the remakes of Star Fox and Mario Kart were kind of cool looking, though.
Yeah. I mean, I played Star Fox. I mean, or what, just really a tech demo of Star Fox, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. It worked. It seemed cool. I mean, I'll keep an eye on it. I'm not turned off. You know, unlike the Sony 3D, which also works. I don't know. I'm just not.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not
Sony 3D costs $4,000. Right. So, there's the difference.
And I'm not entirely convinced that we're not all going to go blind from this shit in like 3 years.
Well, the Sony 3D hurts my eyes. Like, if I use it for a prolonged period, I'm talking about during their press conference.
Mm-hmm. for 5 minutes, you mean?
Yes, for 5 minutes of it. I have a hard
time. It's a good thing you don't write for Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Did we talk about that on our? We talked about that.
We talked about that.
Yes, we did talk about that.
Whereas the 3DS, like, I didn't feel any eye strain, and if I did, I just adjusted the slider accordingly. So I'm really looking forward to the 3DS.
I mean, I actually listened to another gaming podcast yesterday. I listened to the Bitmob podcast, Mobcast, because my friends were on it. And Mark and John, by the way, shout out. But they brought up a good point. They said because it has that slider on there, they have to make those games sort of functional with no 3D. You know? And it's same thing for Sony. For those 3D games, they can't make the 3D that integral to the gameplay because there's going to be plenty of people who don't have 3D TVs.
Yes, but even with the slider on the DS, they could make a game where sliding it down all the way could not be recommended. It's not like you don't have the hardware to play it the way game maker intends it.
I wonder what that the Dragon game where you had to move it around to see the different targets, I wonder what that would look like if we just slid it down to 2D.
Yeah, I don't know. That tech demo thing, yeah.
Yeah, the tech demo, because that's... That one really had the 3D working where everything was coming out at you.
No, I'm not sold on 3D. I mean, for the 3DS, I guess so, if it doesn't make me blind. But I don't know. And I'm certainly not sold on motion control. Frisky Tanuki says, do you guys notice that Nintendo essentially announces Wii Connect 24 for the 3DS when they describe the new tag mode that would be able to grab new content from nearby Wi-Fi networks or other 3DSs for games you own, even if they're not in your 3DS? What are the odds that it actually works and is supported by at least one game? Nintendo, I mean, Frisky brings up a great point. Nintendo is really great at talking about these features, which sound pretty exciting and innovative, and then when they come out, when the system comes out, you know, maybe one game supports it. Maybe. I mean, how many games support Wii Connect 24?
I don't know that I want my system to be that proactive in the first place. Like, I don't need my system to go grab like the latest downloads for my games. Like, I'm okay with coming home and updating my games on my own if I want to update them. Like, it just seems like it's going to update like a bunch of old games maybe you haven't played in a while. Or
and Sony's doing the same thing, right, with their premium PSN service.
I like it when it asks me if I want to update that game when I have that game in my console and I'm ready to play it.
Unless you're on the PS3.
Unless you're on the PS3, and then it takes about 8 days.
Right, because so now they're basically, PlayStation's going to charge you to not have that annoying thing happen. Will it do? I wonder if it'll do system updates by itself. I guess it can't. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Because that's annoying.
Well, we obviously have no idea how any of this works. So let's move on to something else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Frisky actually brings up the PlayStation Plus thing in the next part of his question. But anyway, he wants to know if Microsoft should be working on something similar. I don't, you know, the Microsoft title updates are so fast that I'm never annoyed by them. It's like,
and they are, coming out with a $100 version of Xbox Live.
Yeah, what do you get for that?
You get, it's the family plan. It comes out this November.
Oh, well, what is that?
You think of, oh, you thought I was making a joke.
I thought somebody was coming to my house to fillet me.
That's what happens. It allows you to have multiple family members with gold accounts on one Xbox. Okay. So for the shipwrecks, that would probably work, especially if they ever get an addition.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same for us right now as buying two subscriptions.
Yeah, right now it's the same price. It would still be $100. But I think they're saying that there's going to be special family plan perks and even a different login screen. So.
Oh, it looks like, oh, there's like a family center controls. All right, this doesn't affect a lot of us, so screw it.
The only way it could affect us some is that the end user license agreement might change because of that, which could affect people who do the sharing of Xbox Live Arcade games.
Okay. I see.
Yeah, really nerdy stuff there, but that's the one thing that popped in my head when I saw this.
And if you're like a parent of three kids or even two kids and you have your own Xbox Live account, you might be able to save $50 a year.
Yeah, and if you have like an uncle, a creepy uncle that lives in your basement and he needs his own account. All right, let's move on. We got a lot of questions to get through. We'll just the new iPhone comes out this week, and ACS Railgun wants to know if any of us are getting the new iPhone. Well, while I was at E3, Mrs. Cheapy was supposed to pre-order me the new iPhone because I still have the 3G and it's been 2 years. And somehow she couldn't get it for me, but she managed to order one for herself. She couldn't somehow log in as me. I'm calling shenanigans, but I'm going to get one as soon as I can. I want it badly, but I don't know. It's going to be hard. People lined up here too, and I don't know. I don't know how scarce these things are going to be. What about you, Ship?
I want the white one, and apparently that one isn't available at launch.
Right, I want the white one too, but I don't care really that much. I'll take
you're both racist.
Well, I have the white one now,
so I'm going to get one, just not like next week or whatever they come out.
Wombat, I know you're not getting one.
I'm going to stick with my Samsung Reality.
That is the reality right there. Uh-huh. The funny part is, I mean, what was that, on Verizon?
Yeah.
Okay. The funny thing is, like, I was making fun of your phone a lot, but meanwhile, he was the only one of us that was able to get a consistent network connection while we were at E3. I mean, really, the AT&T is awful.
Oh, it's terrible. That's why, you know, I need to be able to check my email, and I was able to update Twitter really easily.
We had problems. I mean, here, it's funny, because SoftBank is the iPhone provider in Japan, and it's considered like one of the worst cell phone providers here. And so people complain about it. They should go to LA and see what it's like. I mean, maybe it's not so bad when there aren't 40,000 nerds there with their iPhones, but it probably is pretty bad still. Shipwreck, we got some games to give away, some iPhone games.
Yeah. CAG Drift, DRIPH. Apparently has something to do with this iPhone game. I don't know if he was one of the developers or part of the publisher. I'm not sure, but he came to our party out at E3, and he gave us some codes to give away. And I actually tried the game, and it's a pretty good game. Have you guys tried it out yet? I think you guys got codes as well.
I saw the reviews. Got good reviews on iTunes.
Good reviews? I would assume so, yeah. It's a turn-based strategy game where you have a little grid-based field, and you have your little units, and you select them and tell them to move and when to attack. And it's a pretty good game, and it works well on the iPhone because all you have to do is tap it stuff.
All right, so just post in the CAGcast thread, and we'll choose five winners at random.
Yeah, did I say the name of the game? Highborn?
Highborn.
Yes.
Highborn?
Highborn. All right, let's move on. We got a lot of E3 questions to get to in our Show Us Your Tweets and CAGbag section. Lickchan wants to know what each of our game of the show was. Who wants to go first? Anyone?
I'll go first.
Okay.
You do it.
Mine was Vanquish, which is the new Platinum developed game from and published by Sega. And we talk a lot about that in the stuff after this show, but it's a Japanese version of a Gears of War game.
Right. You shoot people in slow motion. That's all you need to know. In a robot suit.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And my game of show might not be my, like, that's my game of show, but at the same time, I didn't see a lot of the high-profile titles that, it, like, sequels that I know I'll like, too.
Like what?
So, like, I really didn't see Killzone 3 very much. I mean, we saw Halo just for a little bit.
We didn't get to see Fable.
I looked at Fable a little bit. Like, those are all games I know I'm really going to like when they come out, but I didn't really feel the need that I had to see them at E3.
Right. Wombat, do you have one?
The more I think of it, there are really only two games that I would really like to see more of.
Okay.
One would be Brink, which I think is could be very, very cool. I, you know, there's basically tons of customization that you can do in that game, and I kind of, you know, kind of into that. And the other game that I actually would really like to get my hands on, and it comes out really soon, is the Tomb Raider game.
Oh, the downloadable Lara Croft.
The downloadable Lara Croft co-op game actually looks like it could be a lot of fun. Champions of Tomb Raider, exactly. Tell me how that's bad.
Cool. It looked like fun. Can't be bad. I mean, I have a really hard time picking a game of the show because I don't really recall seeing anything that blew me away. I mean, I liked Vanquish. That looked cool, but I don't know. Like, I don't think I could pick one.
What about watching me play Assassin's Creed 2 multiplayer? Didn't that make you want to play that?
That looked cool. That was a good take on multiplayer.
It's nice. It's different. It's that if people actually play it, it could be really cool.
Yeah, that looked cool. I mean, there's no cut and dry game of the show for me. A Kiss from Daddy wanted to know what did you like and dislike most about E3? I mean, I'll go first. For me, I like the just hanging out with everybody. That's my favorite part of the show. And dislike is also easy for me. It's all the motion control stuff. I mean, it's like half the show, almost. Such a big focus on it, and there's not a single game, and the games, of course, are the most important thing. Not a single game that was like, wow, I need to get this motion control stuff going, otherwise I can't play Kinectimals or River Splash. What about you, Ship?
I liked that, like you, I liked seeing all the people that I've, run into or, in the past E3s or have dealt with and finally met this year. I also liked that,
the sausage,
the sausage was great. There was a lot of it. I liked that we had a lot of appointments to see good stuff, and I really liked that our Nintendo appointment got us right to the front of the line. I liked that a lot.
That was good.
I disliked that our LucasArts appointment kind of...
wasn't really an appointment.
Ruined my E3? Is that what...
How about you, Wombat?
I would say my favorite part was probably hanging out with you two.
Oh.
That's right. You guys won't say it, but I'll say it. The best part, it wasn't the other people. It was hanging out with you guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Thanks. No, that's cool.
I mean, I liked hanging... See, here's the thing, Wombat. Wombat's very loud. And I like to keep a low profile, which is hard for a tall guy with no hair. But I like to keep a low profile. I'm pretty quiet. Shipwreck is also very quiet. And that's sort of how we roll at E3.
I'm not that loud.
Shipwreck?
You're kind of loud, but that's all right. I still love you for being loud. I don't like it when you answer your phone during
press conferences.
That was once, and I was a lot less disruptive than the guy sitting next to me. With his 35-inch screen laptop that was as bright as the sun.
I also, another moment I really liked was the half an hour that you were away from Cheapy and I, and then when you came back, you had a bag full of shit, just like, you left your for
that's
because
I went to two appointments.
I went to swag.
I went to 2 appointments without you guys, and at both of those appointments, they gave me stuff.
Right, you're not supposed to take it. That's the rule. That's the unwritten rule. If you have a media badge, you're not supposed to take free stuff. Unless it's like, I mean, I took one thing back from me, and that was the Bethesda zip-up sweatshirt.
The Bethesda sweatshirt was really cool. I happen to think my Marvel Superhero Squad lithograph is really cool.
How about that Nyko bag that you got?
Chipwreck took that too, you know.
No, he didn't.
I did, but I'm going to give it away.
Right. Yeah, oh, now it's I'm going to give it away.
He hid it. He didn't carry it. He didn't wear it during
that's
the show.
It's a messenger bag that he put in his other messenger bag.
But it didn't have any game names on it.
Oh, that makes it bad?
Yes.
Because you say so?
Hey, Whizbang wants to know, he says, did you and Shipwreck make Wombat sit by himself at all of the E3 events? I noticed in the pictures you took where you were on the bus, he was behind the two of you. Did you ignore him, make him feel like a third wheel? More importantly, did he bitch about it? Was there a lot of whining and bitching in general? Just curious.
You actually did bitch about that particular photo that he's talking about.
Right.
There was a lot of bitching right there.
There was bitching. There was, actually. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know if it was serious bitching. It might have been like just Wombat fun bitching.
I took it as Wombat fun bitching.
Fun bitching
with a little bit of seriousness to it.
I mean, one of the first things that Wombat said to me when we first saw each other at E3, when we were checking into the hotel, was basically telling me how I have to go to the front desk and try to get a free upgrade for my room. For my room, not even his room.
Yeah, no, for your room. I didn't say for me.
Yeah, no, not for you. But he was like, you got to go and tell them. And he starts giving me this whole long explanation on why I should, you know, the Lakers game, and there's all these extra rooms. I mean, extra rooms at E3 and a Lakers final game. I don't know what you were talking about.
I'm telling you, there would have been a room available after the game.
Right, but I don't need that. And you just couldn't understand how, like, I was happy with my room, and I didn't need to try to finagle some free shit out of people.
Because that's fun.
That's the Wombat way, and that's not the GBD way, believe it or not, despite my nomiker.
That's nothing to do with being cheap.
It kind of does. It's not really. It's more about thinking that you're entitled to stuff for free.
No, it's not even that. It's just
beat the system somehow.
It's knowing the system. It's not even beating it. That's what the rooms are there for.
They're there to get people who didn't pay for them to stay in them.
Well, it's better for the hotel to have those rooms full.
Okay, so I was doing. I should have done them a favor.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand. What else did Wombat bitch about, Shipwreck?
That was it.
My memory's a little hazy.
Let's say I think that's
I don't know. It was fun to have him around. It was, he likes to steal stuff off your plate while you're eating, though.
That I do.
Right. That was a little weird. See, that's the thing. Like, I don't know Wombat that well, and he's like taking food off my plate.
That's not true. Don't say like you don't know me well, because that's not cool at all.
Well, I know you, but I don't like.
We've been doing this for 5 years.
Okay, but I don't see you very often.
That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't?
No.
You're putting your hands on my plate.
I asked
first. When you reach down to grab a fry and you feel somebody tugging back at it.
You didn't. You didn't. First of all, you did not ask first.
Yes, I did.
No. Shipwreck?
No. Like the first time I saw you do it, I was looking away, and then all of a sudden I just saw this hand like quickly snatch something off my plate. But,
right.
No, I'm cool with it. It was just a little bit. It's Wombat.
It's very Wombat. Wombat was in full effect at the show.
I liked it. I loved having you there.
Okay, I liked. I don't know if I loved having you there. I liked having you there.
Wow. Forget it. No, I'm not. You know, I'm done. I'm done.
Love is a strong word. I don't throw around the word love.
I don't have to go back. It's fine.
Willy nilly. I say I liked having you there.
Whatever. Did you like having Shipwreck there? Or did you love having Shipwreck there?
I didn't. I liked having Shipwreck there.
You bitched about the lobster, but people can.
Oh yeah, and then he started bitching about the lobster.
It wasn't a bitch. It was a comment.
But it was awkward.
Fine. Everything I do is awkward. Now
most
I feel
of what Wombat does is awkward.
Forget it. I'm done. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. Speaking of Wombat being awkward,
stop
bowling.
We went bowling, and Benjamouth wants to know,
I'm done with
Wombat, why can't you bowl? I mean, 64 and 71? Seriously?
It was late, and I was tired.
But, I mean, I flew from Japan.
But I can't bowl. What do you want from me?
Okay. So there's no real answer for why. You just can't bowl.
I just can't bowl.
I took bowling lessons when I was younger.
There you go. Wait a minute. So I don't know. I took bowling lessons. You never did. I don't know why I'm so much better than you.
Well, Shipwrecks beat all of us. But it was close. At least I made it.
But he's not a Jew. So.
Oh, Jews can't bowl?
Jews can't play sports.
I really had high hopes for you, Womp. Like, I figured you were going to be one of those guys that, like, just was a ringer at bowling.
No.
For whatever reason. Like, it just, like, I thought you were going to be that guy.
I may bowl once every 10 years. It doesn't.
You did order cookies at the bowling alley.
Yeah, I did.
With milk shooters.
They came with the milk. It said on the menu that was their specialty with the cookies. And I'm like, well, if it's the specialty, we might as well try it while we're here. And they weren't all that great.
The cookies were good.
Like eating
they were good.
Bowling ball hand.
Is it just if you're going to tout it on the menu as like the cookies we're famous for.
Right, right. I understand.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Whatever. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Okay, well, Coley Pop wants to know if we called each other by our nicknames during the show.
Yeah, I called you Doucheface McGee.
Right. And I called Wombat. What did I call you? Jean shorts, nerdlinger, take all the free stuff, complain about everything.
Man. I didn't wear jean shorts.
You didn't?
Oh, no.
I don't know. Well, it's funnier if you say
jean shorts.
I don't know.
What is that? Yeah. Yes, I went to E3 with my Daisy Dukes on. Was that
the
problem?
You didn't wear jean shorts?
No.
Didn't he wear? He wasn't wearing jean shorts.
He had some like cargo shorts on.
Okay.
Day.
Well, it was. I mean, I usually wear cargo shorts. I was just cold the whole time.
See, I was not. I was warm.
Right. Let's see. What
we
else
didn't answer that question, by the way.
Which one?
Did we actually call?
Yeah, we did. I think I did.
Yeah, it's weird for me to call you guys by your real names.
I mean, there's people here that call me Chibi, and we're not at a trade show. So
the odd thing is when you're at a trade show and like you introduce yourself, and you're like, "Hey, I'm Robert Good," and then they kind of like stare at you, and you don't know if you should say like, "Hey, I'm Shipwreck." And then you add that in there, and then they just stare at you more. And you're like,
right. I say
damn.
David. I always introduce myself as David. David the Wombat Hater is what I call myself.
Seriously, I'm sort of upset, but that's okay.
You're not, why are you upset? You're not upset.
Yes, I am upset, but that's okay. Well, no, let's go keep doing the show.
Let's cheer it up. Let's stop with the Wombat hate.
Okay, there's no hate.
There is. No, you're hurting my feelings intentionally, but that's fine.
I just said there wasn't love. It doesn't mean that there's hate.
Whatever.
Let's see.
I wasn't going to eat all those fries anyways.
But I wasn't. It was good for my diet, actually. The Wombat was there.
You said it like I ate everything on your plate. I think I took a French fry from your plate. And
do you know Wombat? I was eating the sandwich and I was just about to put it in my mouth and Wombat just went took it right out of my hand.
That was true because it was funny.
Let's see.
That's because you complained when I did it before and the second time makes it funny.
Right. Sled Zeppelin wanted to know which one of us got recognized the most.
Probably you.
Well, I stand out a lot. I'm like a lighthouse. I mean, people see me. I look like you should know me just because you can, I don't know.
But there are so many people there that look like you.
There's a lot of tall, bald guys.
There's a ton of tall, bald guys.
But they're tall for you. They're not really that tall.
No, they're your height. Thanks a lot.
You can't even, you just look up my nostrils the whole time.
Uh-huh. I don't know why I'm doing this show. Maybe this will be my last one.
No, come on. Let's see. Okay, here's a good
question.
Laura's
going to be so upset if she listens to this.
She will be. She will be really upset.
Well, she probably shouldn't listen to this one. She'll play the other one.
Uh-huh.
The E3 one. Squeezed He wanted to know what our other halves think of the Move, the Kinect, and the 3DS. My wife doesn't know anything about it. What about you guys?
My wife has no opinion.
My wife thought it was funny that I was trying to do that in bed last night. But no, she doesn't have... She thinks they're stupid. She thinks the Move and the Kinect are both stupid. 3DS, I'm sure she'll like that okay.
Right. Let's see what else we got here. I don't know. Is that it? Anything?
There was a question there about Mortal Kombat.
Okay,
I haven't talked about this. On my flight back, I sat in front of the Mortal Kombat community manager because I was flying through Chicago and they're located out there. So we talked about Mortal Kombat quite a bit.
You got the scoop?
Back.
Well, now you can't tell us anything because you just told us who it was.
He knows who I was. I mean,
maybe he's not allowed to talk about
it. Well, he's the community manager. He should know whether or not he's allowed to talk about stuff or not.
All right.
I don't think I'm going to get him in trouble or anything for this.
All right.
But which was kind of cool because I was talking to some other guy in our row about he did like aircraft engine stuff. So I was talking to him about that. And then he was asking me what I was out there for. So I told him about the video games and like that. I said cheap ass gamer. And then the Mortal Kombat guy behind me, like he perked up then. And so
he said, get over here.
Right. Good one.
Thank you.
I can tell you that Robin was a downloadable character that was planned. They had him finished for Mortal Kombat versus DC.
That's not too surprising because he was in the when the game came out, it came with like that mini comic in the package, mm-hmm. and it showed Robin in there. So that rumor's
Robin and Nightwing.
Yeah, that rumor's been flying around for a long time.
Yes, well, I can confirm that rumor that he was ready to come out, but then Midway went bankrupt. And I told him about our ideas for making the fatalities easier, like having two different methods of doing the fatalities, one for the hardcore and then one for the people who just want
to
do a fatality.
With the quick time event, basically?
Yeah, something like that, which they did say a lot of that stuff is up in the air, and they're trying to figure out a way that will work for both sets of players. So he said he would go back and suggest that idea, give it to their designers.
Stay on him with that.
Yeah, I will. Right now, he said they just have it as all the fatalities they were doing at the show were just, I think it was like up, and Y.
That works for me. Make them
exactly,
all up, Y.
Said. Yeah, that would work. I mean, it looks really good. Mortal Kombat does. I'm really excited about it. It just sucks that it's not out until spring of next year.
Right. A lot of the games we saw are not out till next year.
Yeah.
In fact, a question from, maybe this will be our last question. Fjordson says, I keep seeing people on other sites like Joystick and Giant Bomb praising id Software's Rage to no end. Everyone that saw it was apparently blown away. I just went to IGN and they gave it their best of show award, like best overall, over everything. Did you guys get to see it? And he was surprised that a game not slated until 2011 was impressing people more than all of the 2010 games. We did see it. We had the demonstration.
I missed it.
Oh, well, it's a good-looking first-person shooter that looks like Borderlands with, you know, not cell-shaded graphics. Without the RPG stuff. I don't know. It didn't look like that ridiculously awesome to me.
The graphics look good.
Yeah, the graphics look good, sure.
I think we talk about this later, like in one of the other things that'll be added on to the show, but
okay.
It doesn't have like a soul or anything to it right now.
Yeah, it's a good looking first person shooter. There's a lot of those out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't quite get the praise unless those people have actually played it. Like we didn't get to play it. We just watched them do a demonstration of it. So maybe they had some hands on time with it.
Right. Any other Wombat, you see any of these questions here that you need to answer that you feel a very strong desire?
Probably not.
No. What do you have a strong desire to do?
Not talk to you for a little while.
Oh. Really?
Oh, no, we can't end it on that.
Well, we're not. There's going to be a whole other show after this and audio booth.
Oh, and he'll be happy during those.
Actually, he'll be sleepy during those. And happy.
Oh, really? I talked about Bulletstorm in one of the later things. People were asking about Bulletstorm.
Right.
Looks good.
Well, man, are you really that upset?
I'm all right.
What do you mean? Just all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. People, you don't want to bump people out in the special collector's edition, CAD-CAD.
You should have thought of that.
I don't think I said anything that was that bad. Well, the worst thing I said was that I wouldn't want to use the word love.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, come on.
What a downer, dude.
I'm a downer. What do you want,
dude?
From
why
me?
Don't you go get your Nyko bag and look at it lovingly, and maybe that'll cheer you up.
I'll wear my red vest.
Somebody brought who brought that vest for you?
I don't think I can say.
Oh, really? Yeah. They stole it?
No, I don't think he likes to be mentioned on the show.
Oh, okay. Somebody brought Wombat a red vest that made him look just like Barry from Alan Wake. It was pretty funny. And he wore it through the whole party.
What else was I going to do with it?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for part one of the Collector's Edition E3 CADcast. Stay tuned for the show that was recorded last Thursday. That's, the 15th or something? I don't know. And then stay tuned after that for Audio Booze. And, oh, wait, should we do our... Everybody follow us on Twitter, twitter.com. Actually, you can follow us... if you go to the front page of CAG, there's a way to follow all of us, but it's GPD, Wombat5277, and Shipwreck. There's a way that you can follow all of us with one click on the front page of CAG, which is nice. And, GoDaddy.com, 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, $7.49 domain names, CAG domain at GoDaddy.com. That's it. We'll see you next week.
Maybe we're going to get Wombat some ice cream.
Yeah, we're going to go buy Wombat some ice cream. Shipwreck's going to give him a big hug. And, say goodbye, everybody.
I love you, Wombat.
I like you, Wombat. I like your Nyko bag the best, though. I love your Nyko bag.
Boo.
Goodbye. Stay tuned for more for sleepy but happier Wombat.
Here are the controls of an Atari video computer system. Here are the controls of the Commodore VIC-20 home computer. Now, which one do you think really deserves to be called a computer? If you say the VIC-20, well, here's a little additional piece of information. The VIC-20 also plays games like you've never seen before. Mere child's play for a true computer. The Commodore VIC-20, a real computer for the price of a toy.
All right, everybody, welcome to the E3 2010 CADcast Spectacular, live from the fabulous LA Live Marriott. We've got Wombat and Shipwreck here.
Ooh, yeah.
This is very weird. This is the first time we've ever done a CADcast in person, all three of us.
No, the littering's most fabulous that you just put on, too.
That is Axe, by the way.
Axe body spray.
This is Japanese Axe. I've imported this. It's Click is the scent.
You know what makes me nervous? You standing.
I should sit?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to sit down right here in this chair. Yes. So anyway, this is our new recording technique using our portable microphones and lapel mics. So we have maximum comfort lounging around the hotel room. Wombat's ready for a nap.
I'm in my James Bond villain chair, so.
Right. This hotel's got nice furniture. So I thought what we would do, since E3 is now officially over, it's Thursday, 6 p.m. California time. So I guess what we should do is go over our schedule and talk about things that we did.
The whole schedule? When are we starting?
I don't know.
When does this podcast... Are we going all the way back to the press events?
Oh, we can. I guess we can do that.
We're going to talk about the presidents?
Press events.
Well, the first one was George Washington.
Press events. We can do it quickly.
All right, you went to the Project Natal...
I went to the Cirque du Soleil thing. Major Nelson was very nice, and he got me an invite.
Don't throw me in there.
to the Cirque du Soleil thing on Sunday night and the Microsoft press event on Monday morning. Now, only one of those yielded a free Xbox. Therefore, that is the one I liked better.
Yeah, and Shipwreck and I were not in either one. We went to, in our hotel, they had a conference room set up to show it. And we didn't get free Xboxes, but we got free muffins.
All right, well, I didn't get any muffins, so there. I mean, I gotta say, the Cirque du Soleil thing was like really lame. Like, it was boring. I wanted to leave because you basically are sitting in the audience watching people who are standing on the show floor get a sort of budget Cirque du Soleil performance.
See, while you were doing that, Shipwreck and I went out with some PR folk. And we're drinking hot sake and having some shabu shabu.
Anything would have been better than this. Like, everybody was bored.
Yeah, no, I think we actually won that one.
You won that one.
We won that one.
You won that round. But the next round was the Microsoft press conference, which most of it was dedicated to Kinect, so I have no interest in that.
And if the pricing on Amazon is correct, we're done talking about it.
Right. We got to talk about it a little bit later when we actually played it.
Right, we will.
And that will be the last time we talk about it.
The problem with this E3, I think, overall, is that you have two out of the three big companies are pushing motion control technology, which I don't think any of us are interested in, especially not after trying.
You have to qualify that. Two of the three companies are pushing motion control technology, and the third one has it.
Right, two of the companies are trying to catch up with the one company that already has motion control. So the Microsoft press conference, you know, throughout the whole thing, everyone's pretty much like, okay. And then when they break out the new Xbox, everyone's like, oh, that's cool. There's something we didn't know was coming, I guess.
Well, you knew the Slim was coming.
Well, we knew. But I guess some people, but you didn't know what it looked like, at least. To keep that a surprise. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know that it was coming out this week. So everyone was like, oh wow, that's out. And then when they said, and everybody here gets a free one, that's when everybody was like, woo! They were like the hip-hop gamer at Sony. Word! Word!
Oh my god!
Right. So, we'll get into that in a minute. So that was the Microsoft one. It was really like nothing that exciting about it except for the free Xboxes.
No, there wasn't.
And people like were tweeting, you're gonna give that Xbox away? Cause, I don't know, money hats, they're buying your opinion. So, we're giving away five on cheapassgamer.com. Just go to the contest section. Five. So what was next?
Next
Nintendo.
Was Nintendo.
We went to Nintendo's. Nintendo had the best press conference.
But the worst food.
Well, they had no food.
Nintendo doesn't serve food at the
I know, they serve coffee and that's it.
Right.
Yes.
That's how it's been.
They showed a lot of the 3DS.
But you can't see it.
You can't really see it
from there.
Which is a hard thing to show off.
They showed the new Zelda, which looks like...
Helda?
Yeah.
Helda?
Yeah, that's bad.
It looks a little rough. And Donkey Kong, which you've got to play.
I played Donkey Kong today, yes. We'll talk about that later when we get to the actual day-by-day stuff.
Sure.
And they showed Kirby.
Yes,
They showed a bunch of stuff. Most of their stuff didn't rely on motion control. It was weird. It was like, we have all this motion control stuff, but we're not going to talk about that.
They're showing a lot of classic characters in 2D platformers. It's very interesting and... I'm kind of happy about it. So, and by kind I mean very. Maybe I'll start using my Wii.
Yeah, the only thing about it is, like, they're showing games so far off that you realize that there's not, like, an HD version or an updated Wii coming.
No.
It's just like, these graphics.
No weed. No weed for GBD.
Right. Well, I don't know. That whole press conference didn't interest me that much. But the 3D, because it's so hard. Like, they're like, here's this great technology, but you can't see it. Until late. Although, they let you see it after the show. They had it like 100 girls with DS's attached.
Which is when I got to see the 3DS.
Right.
And it's pretty spiffy looking, but we'll talk about that later. Because you guys have got real hands on with it.
Yeah. And then
Sony. Then we went to Sony. Yes.
The best food of the three.
Well,
the only food.
Yeah, I know, but that taco truck. I want more of those pork tacos. Oh, those were good.
The press conference itself, though, was just, it was boring.
It was. There was so much 3D. They're really pushing 3D because they really need to sell those 3D TVs to keep Sony, I guess, in business.
Right. Well, at least you can see the 3D because they handed out glasses.
So it's kind of like, thank you for buying our $400 console. Do you mind spending another $3,400 on a new TV? Oh, and that only comes with one pair of glasses. Additional glasses are $100 a piece. So if you want a family of four to watch, you watch Blu-rays in 3D, it's going to be, $3,800.
I don't even like the 3D.
Plus the console.
I have a slight stigmatism, like very slight stigmatism, and I have trouble focusing on 3D for very long. So even in the short clips they were showing, like Killzone looks great. I really want to play Killzone 3, but I couldn't concentrate on it. Like I kept on having to like close one eye, open one eye, like
it's not what I want to do. It doesn't exist. As far as I'm concerned, 3D PS3 doesn't exist. It's too expensive for the average, not even the average, even the above average American citizen isn't splurging on 3D right now. It's too young. It makes no sense. It's a terrible strategy. And that's it. That is the last we're talking about PS3 and 3D.
I love all these declamations or declarations you're declaring
the,
here.
The next show is going to be like 4 minutes because
we can't talk about Kinect and we can't talk about PlayStation 3 and 3D anymore.
Can we talk about Move? Move's a little bit expensive too.
Move is expensive. Move is crazy expensive.
$80 for the combo of a wand.
Well,
and
that's if you already have the PSI. If you don't have the PlayStation I, and if you want a game that actually uses it, you're looking at $130.
Wait, so it's 50 for the thing with the ball on it?
Yes.
And then what about the sub-controller?
That's 30.
That's 30.
Did they name the sub-controller?
Yeah, sub-controller.
No, it's not sub-controller. It's something else. I don't remember the name.
The step nunchuck.
It was funny in the audience. Did you notice, like, when they put the prices up for everything, they put the picture of the thing with the ball on it, and it's like $49.99, and people are like, oh. Like, you hear people like, oh. And then they said, and here's the sub controller for $29.99. Then you hear people go, oh. they realize, doing the math, like, okay, so now I need at least two sets of those if I want to pay with somebody.
And there's the bundle that's the actual thing with the ball on it, a game, and the camera, but not the sub controller, the camera, the sub controller, and that's $99.99.
Right.
So if you don't have anything and you want a game to play with it, it's going to cost you out of pocket $130.
Just for one setup.
Just for one setup.
Which is
additional setups would be $80.
Right. Well, the Microsoft solution is $150.
Right, but you don't need any other controllers.
Which, in other words, again, it's too expensive. You're almost spending the same amount as a Wii.
As an arcade now is $150.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah. And the rest of the Sony press conference, it was a lot of like non-exclusive stuff for a lot of it. I mean,
they showed a lot of exclusive content and non-exclusive games.
Right.
They were saying, "Oh, we're getting what was the exclusive stuff?"
Medal of Honor. They were getting like a pack-in limited edition with an old Medal of Honor Frontline.
Yeah,
like
and
an
if
HD
you
version
get,
of it.
Yeah, and Dead Space 2 comes with Dead Space Extraction.
That's the only limited edition,
which uses the Move.
Yeah,
which is a good pack-in. I mean, that's pretty cool. But
yeah, it's a good pack-in, but it's not like that's exclusive because that's. I thought Extraction was coming to 360 as well.
I don't know, but maybe it's exclusive like as a package.
Yeah, as the package is exclusive. But Killzone 3 looked really good to me.
Yeah, but I don't know. But the 3D thing, like
no, but they showed it. They showed it in 2D later.
Yeah,
like in one of the mini
vignettes.
Yes.
You know what? You know what I liked the best? I liked Sly Cooper Collection remix.
You liked the PS2 game.
Yeah.
Three PS2 games, the best.
In 3D.
Yeah. Well, not in 3D, but I mean, they did a good job with God of War. And
it's going to be tougher with Sly. Because God of War looked so good to begin with. And if you go back and look at those...
Sly Cooper fuzzy games memories?
Now, yeah, Sly Cooper doesn't look that great anymore. I mean, it still has a good art style. But they'll be fun to play, but I can't get fired up about PS2 games on a PS3 disc. And then they showed Twisted Metal.
Yes, and Twisted Metal.
That was the big reveal. People were excited. They had it on the show floor, too. Yeah. I watched people playing it.
It looks good.
Looks good. Looks like Twisted Metal.
It looks like Twisted Metal, yeah, with helicopters.
Yeah. No Last Guardian anywhere.
No.
Not in the press conference, not on the show floor, nowhere.
No. Good call, yeah. And that'll segue us right into the Ubisoft press conference. Not that they have anything to do with each other, other than they should know Beyond Good and Evil at the Ubisoft press conference. And I was convinced they were going to close with that. I just, when they said, and we have one more big surprise, I went to that one alone. It was hosted by Joel McHale, and Sean White was a special guest, showing his new skateboarding game, which we'll talk about later. But they closed with the Michael Jackson game, which they showed no footage of.
Right, just people dancing on
stage. It was a static screen of a title, with dancers on stage dancing.
Do you remember the title of the game? Is it just Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson, the game. I have no idea.
It just said Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
I watched it. I watched it in the hotel.
Yeah, it was. It was
you.
Yeah, I'm working hard over there.
I was actually there.
You lived it.
I lived it. But Joe McHale was actually funny this time, and there was no James Cameron. So
that's a plus. I didn't go to it because I went to the Virgin Gaming.
That's right. You went to the Virgin Gaming thing. How was that?
Well, it was kind of cool. It was very small. We talked about this in an audio booth, so if people really want to know about it a lot, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail.
I talked about
it in an audio
booth. But it is interesting. Like, they're starting a service where you bet on your matches with people. Real money, right?
Right.
And you win real money, right?
Yeah, you can win real money or prizes. So
people like prizes.
Yeah. Which I guess that's launched now. I don't know what games are with it. But
I don't know.
This is for console gaming. Like,
right.
For PSN and Xbox Live and stuff, so we'll see how it goes. It's got money behind it.
It does have money behind it.
Yes, billions.
All right, what else? What's next?
Next, we went to the Activision.
All right.
That was ridiculous.
So this is ridiculous. I mean, they had basically Activision rented out the entire Staples Center, you know, where the Lakers are playing tonight, and had put on a private concert for the people who got invited for it. The big shots, like the cheap-ass gamers of the world.
Exactly, the three of us.
So we go there, and like, we just decided to walk up to one of the luxury boxes to see. Like, they don't give you any direction. You just, you know, they check you in, and then you're in the Staples Center, and you don't know anything. So we just walked around. We walked to the luxury boxes, and we just walked in, and there was a fully stocked luxury bar. There was nobody in it.
Nope, the door was unlocked.
It had food and drinks and
beer and wine and soda.
We actually went into it early.
We went in there early while they were warming up, so we knew that Eminem was like the star guy before everybody, even though the rumor.
But we also knew that Rihanna was going to be there before. That was a surprise.
Yeah, because they were both warming up.
Right? It was a crazy concert. It had some DJs. Who was it?
Z-Trip and
Deadmau5.
Yeah, Deadmau5.
Some French dude.
Frenchie dude.
Frenchie LaRue, I think his name was.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Mixmaster Frenchie LaRue.
Yeah. So basically we...
And Jane's Addiction.
I think the point to take away is that Activision let us have a private luxury box during a private concert. And Guy Kroll was in our luxury box.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Some of the guys from Joystick showed up, but they didn't stay. They have journalistic integrity.
Right. They had to do work.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can't do this. I'm like, well, then go.
Yeah, but
Craig from Screw Attack.
Yep, mm-hmm. Screw Attack.
Yeah, it was like 10 of us, isn't it? I mean, maybe 15 people.
No, 10. 10, was, 10 at the most.
Oh, and yeah. Chris Morris, he used to work for CNN.
Okay.
Now he works for a lot of other places. But anyway, it was fun. Free concert.
Yeah. Usher, Chris Cornell.
Red Vines.
There was free Red Vines, not the band, but the food.
The licorice.
Yes.
I ate that. I ate everything. I ate all that junk that they don't sell in Japan, like the licorice. You can't find licorice in Japan. I didn't care for any of the music personally, but
it was weird because it's kind of underappreciated to me. Like I really liked Jane's Addiction. Probably sounded the worst, but I thought
they sounded the best.
I don't know that they sounded the best.
Fuzzy Memories again.
Yeah,
mm.
But that's what I appreciated the most out of it. So. And the 8 Mile song from Eminem, like closing on that, like
it was nice.
It was fun. Yeah.
It was ridiculous how much money they spent.
Yeah, and it was a long concert. I mean, the thing ended at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But anyway,
the rumor is it cost them like $6 million to put that.
Yeah, but that Activision fall lineup. Man, that looks great now. 10 out of 10s. 10 out of 10s. Everything.
Right. 20 out of 10.
Tony Hawk Shred. Yeah, 30 out of 10.
30 out of 10. Everyone go buy Call of Duty Black Ops now. Yeah,
pre-order your copy, Tony Hawk Shred. Put down that $130.
Shred. What a waste of a game. What's next?
Next is...
The next morning.
We screwed up the order,
but that's all right.
That's okay.
Yeah, the Nintendo and the Sony thing were the next day after the Activision thing.
Should we skip to Fable?
We'll skip to Fable.
We'll go to Fable, so... Flynn from Gay Gamer got me in to see Fable because they love the gays over at Microsoft's PR company, I guess. Or at least the one who was running the show. So she loves Flynn, so.
Everybody loves Flynn.
Yeah, everybody knows Flynn. And it was just me, Flynn, and some other dude in a room with Peter Molyneux and the game. I mean, it looks a lot like Fable 2, but I know Wombat really liked it, and I really liked it. And Shipwreck liked it, too. You all voted that your favorite game, right?
Yeah, I think that was our game of the year 1 year. 2 years ago.
So, I mean, the big push this year is, like, everything is upgradable. Okay? So, like, your armor can level up itself.
Oh, okay.
Everything morphs and turns into stuff. So, like, your weapons.
Is your dog upgradable?
He said everything. So, I don't know about the dog. He didn't talk much about the dog. But, so the whole story behind the game is that for the first half of the game, you're trying to overthrow a king who is your brother. Evil king. Okay? And then for the second half of the game, you become the king and you have to, like, be a king and do king stuff.
Okay.
So, like, make sure.
So, you know all about that. What's it like being the king?
It's good to be the king. So, you know, and there's a whole follower thing. I don't know if they got that from Twitter, but you collect followers, and those are people who are, like, either really, really afraid of you or really like you, and that they'll, you know, they're on board with Team Wombat or whatever. And I guess once you get enough followers, then you can overthrow the king and stuff like that. It's Fable.
Oh, it'll be great.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
My rule of thumb at E3 is I usually don't go see the stuff that I know is going to be great. It's like the stuff in between that I...
Right. Weren't we seeing something while he was seeing Fable?
You were seeing Disney.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Disney.
What happened at Disney?
I played Epic Mickey because I'm a big Mickey Mouse fan.
Right.
And I was really looking forward to Epic Mickey. And it's the show floor and it's not a finished copy, but I was a little disappointed. You know, the dual spray mechanic feels a little awkward. Like, you have paint and you have paint thinner. And paint makes things grow and paint thinner makes things disappear. And sometimes you mean to push one and you'll push the other. And I did that just in the standing 3-minute demo, so I know that I will spend the majority of the game pushing the wrong one.
Just like when you drive a car, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Gas brake.
I know, I'm not very smart. it would be nice if the graphics were a little sharper.
Right.
It has some great effects to it, the dripping paint, the scenery, everything looks good, but it's just not sharp. It's missing, and I've seen Wii games that have sharper graphics than Epic Mickey. It's not a Wii complaint. It's a game complaint.
Right. And they could fix that.
Yeah, and the camera was awful.
I didn't think the camera was that bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more forgiving on that type of stuff than you are.
It's a
straight out platformer.
Yeah.
There's nothing that new about it. Like, it has the ink stuff, sure, but it's...
And it has those 2D side-scrolling missions, which are pretty neat.
Yeah, but still, it's a platform.
Cool, yeah. So, like, they go back and do, like, redo classic Mickey stuff in 2D platforming land.
And that's the best part of the game.
Would you prefer this game more, do you think, if it just had a standard controller and you weren't...
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the game benefits from having...
No.
Well, it's built into the gameplay there, though.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of shaking. Well, not really. I mean, it's... all you need is two...
You gotta aim it, though. The aim is where
if you had a second analog stick, you can aim it.
Yeah. You could, but...
I played Mario with Sunshine.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Mario Sunshine with Mickey Mouse.
All right, should we move on? We saw Guilty Party.
Oh,
sorry, I forgot.
Saw Tron, which...
It's okay. Let's move past Tron. If you like Tron, it's going to be an average Tron.
We both really liked Guilty Party, though.
Yeah. Guilty Party's
good. Guilty Party's good.
I never even heard of that.
Guilty Party, it's a cross between Clue, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and a minigame collection. But it works really well. The graphics, this game looks really good on the Wii. I really like the art style and the presentation. The minigames are short and fun, but you're building to something where you do it to get a clue. And the way it works, where you put the clues into your notebook and how that system works, it's hard to describe on a podcast.
No, it's not. It's Carmen Sandiego. You go, this person's a male, this person's skinny. Like, you go through until you find all the things that match up with your list of suspects.
And once you have them all, it actually builds a picture of what it should look like, and then you can choose accuse your suspect based on that silhouette that you build. It's really cool. It's a neat idea, and there's a random mystery generator. So besides the story level, you can actually keep doing it, and that supports up to 4 players. And yep. And it's four players with one Wiimote.
Does it come with an almanac?
Well, or four Wiimotes.
No, or four, yes, yeah. But...
No almanac?
No almanac. But that's a no nunchuck game. That's a single Wiimote.
Gotcha.
And you could play four players on one Wiimote, so it's actually cost effective.
You didn't see the pirate game, right?
No, we didn't have time.
We didn't have time.
They that wanted to show though. It to us.
Well, we'll the pirate game looks good.
Yeah. Shout out to Stuttering Billy, who's a CAG. We worked on that game.
Oh, no, it looks promising.
No, I'm actually very much interested in that game.
It,
so
it reminds me of a Fable-type game.
Okay. Anything else there?
That was it.
That was it at Disney. Then we went to APB. All points bulletin.
All points waste of time.
Well,
it's not a waste of time.
It looks really good.
It looks like a good game. We just suck at it.
No, it was a waste. It was a waste of time for them to have
they
us there.
They just sat us down in front of the computers and had us play. You know, three guys who
don't play
any PC.
Yes.
So, and we were playing.
We didn't find that out till afterwards.
Yeah, after we found out we were playing against people who were in the beta. So people who are obviously really into the game and have been playing it for a while.
Yeah,
so
and they just mowed us down. And yeah. And, you know, it's an MMO-style game. I mean, there's a monthly fee.
It's Grand Theft Auto, MMO.
The way the missions are kind of doled out.
With a lot of customization.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, and it's cool, like, you're playing together. We were playing together as criminals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. And we were supposed, you know, they'd say, oh, you got to... There's an APB out on you, and then all of a sudden, some real players show up to kick your ass.
Yeah, there's some problem with where you spawn in that game, though, because there was, like, Lieutenant Nutsack, or whatever his name was. he kept on killing us.
The Lieutenant Nutsack?
The Lieutenant Nutsack.
Damn.
I kept on respawning. He killed me, like, three times in a row.
Right, and you kept yelling out.
Yeah.
Damn you, Lieutenant Nutsack.
And it would be nice if there was a way to get to your gang faster.
Yeah, I got it. Was far away a couple times.
And that's kind of annoying.
They say no con... I mean...
They say they're not commenting on their consoles.
No, they... Well, he said no console version. And then... But then I think he was lying.
Yeah, there's something about you that makes you think he's lying. I think it just has to be structured so differently because... of the pay structure and how the online works. I think that's what they're probably struggling with on the on the platforms, or the console platforms.
All right, so after that, we went to the Michael Packer party.
We did. Yeah. We took a THQ, Homefront limo.
That's right, we took a stretched limo to the Michael Packer party, and it was nice to see Mr. Packer, and we thank him for inviting us. Shipwreck and I got to have a nice conversation with Dennis Dyack.
Yes, Two Human Trilogy still on.
Yeah, that's happening.
Confirmed.
Two Human Two is coming. We both mentioned it on the show. We both really liked that game, and we were happy to tell him, and he was very happy to talk to us once he found that out.
Big news, it's going to be more centered on Norse, and the gods are going to use contractions when they speak.
Yes. Well, that was my suggestion to him also, and he agreed with me, which was kind of cool. I said that, you know, the tech stuff was cool, but I like the Norse Viking stuff more than the tech stuff, and I'd like to see more of that. And he said, no, he was very happy to hear my constructive criticism.
Did he say anything crazy?
Then he said, oogada boogada!
No, I thought
and he flew out the window.
He said something crazy, though.
I don't think so. Did he say something
crazy? I don't think he said anything too crazy. He's very enthusiastic guy. Yeah. So you'll say like two words to him, and then all of a sudden he'll just like
his eyes will light up.
His eyes light up, and he just like talks for like.
But he was really nice, you know. But,
yeah, that party was crazy too. Like Kurt Schilling was there, but we didn't meet him. All the big wigs were there though. That was a good party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we went for lobster dinner.
Yeah,
with Nick Sutner, Rock Solid Audio.
Yep, but we can't say anything about that other than dinner.
Why not?
About the stuff we can't talk about.
We talk about the lobster.
Yeah,
we're talking about the lobster. That lobster, although it was excellent, and I thank you for dinner. Yeah.
You're gonna complain about the lobster.
It was not the size that they said it was.
Oh God.
Wombat's an expert on lobsters.
Yes. He might be complaining.
I'm not saying that he's wrong. But that's why I wouldn't bring it up.
No.
Somebody else just paid for your lobster dinner?
Right. I would just think that to myself.
I'd probably just thank them.
Well, you know, I did thank them first.
Thank you, but...
Thanks a lot for this expensive dinner. But by the way, this lobster was...
Well, you were complaining about the same stupid crap with your work. But we're not going to go into that. But
no.
Same type of thing.
Yeah, no.
Wombat's not... You know, this is Wombat's first E3. And he actually had work to do during it, too, because he didn't really have... full time off. He got promoted and he's got to do work. So what we needed to do, and it's our fault actually, is that we need to give Wombat a handbook, the E3 handbook. So he knew how to
turn off your cell phone when we were in a meeting.
No, room. That was, I thought it was off, and that wasn't even worth
calling. No, but you answered it also.
Well, you know me. Which one was that anyway?
That's like grounds to not get invited next year.
It was, no, what was it? It was like
at the Sony press conference.
No, Nintendo press conference.
Oh, Nintendo
press conference. And then it went off in another meeting room, but you didn't answer it that time. No, you had learned that lesson.
That's true.
And then from that point off, it never rang again.
No.
So, good job on that.
Thanks.
So then we went, Shipwreck, Wombat went home. We all went home, but then Wombat said he was going to sleep, but I was supposed to call him if we went anywhere, and I didn't call him because I forgot.
Basically, you ditched me because you're a jerk.
I ditched you. I'm a jerk. We ditched Wombat, and we went to the Halo Reach event where we played Firefight.
That's pretty cool. There's six classes now.
There's a lot of classes.
Yeah, there's a medic class. I don't remember what the other new class was, but it's good. It's very good Halo.
I was disappointed because I knew it was going to be a new multiplayer mode.
And you thought it was going to be the war.
Space battle?
Yeah, the space
something.
Battles.
I just don't, like, it's hard to get excited about the mode that was in the last game.
Oh, no, it's still fun, though. Like,
yeah, it was fun.
You still got to use the new weapons and everything.
And you got to take a picture with Nathan Fillion.
I did. I got to, Nathan Fillion was there.
Fillion.
4.5 pounds. Lobster.
Yes, exactly.
No, it was probably like a 3.
3?
Yep.
That wasn't 3.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but, yeah, I had to explain.
Stay tuned after this podcast for the Lobster Cast. Wombat will tell you how to buy your eye, using your eye only to measure the lobster. Oh, he could have used his hands too, actually.
That's right.
He did use his hands.
I did. I picked that thing up and ripped it apart.
He uses his hands to pick food off your plate too. I while do. You're eating, while you're still eating your food.
I do. I'm a jerk.
He just reaches onto your plate and takes whatever you're eating away from you.
Right.
Only from you two.
Did you ever see the movie Splash? Remember when he takes the mermaid to the restaurant?
That's me eating a lobster.
He picks up the lobster and just takes a bite out of it. He was pretty skilled. You can see Wombat's had a lot of lobsters in this time.
But no, I was very happy to meet Nathan Fillion.
Right. I didn't.
Way to bring it home.
I wasn't that happy about it.
Well, you didn't even know who he was. So.
Yeah. Well, he looked familiar.
Yeah.
I saw that movie.
You should say, I love you on two girls, a guy in a pizza place, or whatever it is. Two guys, a girl in a pizza place.
All right. Then we went to sleep.
Yes, we did. And then we
two
woke
guys,
up.
Two guys, a girl in a pizza place.
Yeah, he was on that show.
What did he do on that show?
He was the pizza.
He was the husband of the girl.
I didn't remember him in that role.
Yes.
All right. What did we do on Wednesday, Ship?
I sent out some pictures of me with Nathan Fillion.
Right.
And then we went and saw the Bethesda stuff.
Yeah.
Bethesda's got good games. Really good games. We saw Rage first, Cheapy and I did.
I missed that. I was working.
Yes.
It's a very good-looking Borderlands Fallout-type world.
But it has... my problem with it, like, it looks great. It has no attitude or, like... it has nothing to draw me in besides, hey, this is a really good-looking shooter.
Right.
Like, it's got to get some personality to it before... I'm fully behind Rage. But,
yeah, it seemed right.
It seemed fine, but it wasn't
a lot of first-person shooters. Right. Good.
But we did see other first-person shooters there. We saw Wombat look quickly at Fallout.
Yeah, it's Fallout. It's so hard to tell how it is, really, in 2 minutes. I mean, it's a, you know, 100-some-odd-hour game, probably. So, you know, the only thing we need to be wary of is that it's made by Obsidian. So hopefully it's not buggy.
Did it look as like a lot better than the last one?
It's a little shinier, you know. It has a new coat of paint on it, but it's still the same Fallout.
All right.
Yeah.
What else did we see there?
We saw Brink.
I like Brink.
Brink's good.
What's
I like
so good about it? Because it looked pretty average.
It's a healthy combination of Team Fortress meets Borderlands with a lot of customization.
Where do you get the Borderlands part out of it?
Lots of the weapon customization.
Oh, you don't really customize your weapons in Borderlands.
Well, you get lots of weapons, and this has infinite parts.
So. Look, they both have weapons, and you shoot them. Yeah.
It was a 3.5-pound lobster, Dan.
Yeah, it was a three and a half pound lobster. I just think you should know that.
Oh, but, yeah, no, I like that one a lot, because I like the... how you can run up walls and everything too, like just by holding a button, he does the free running type stuff where you hop over everything.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that. The way that they dole out the missions to you, where you have different objectives and it keeps changing, and you can ask people to come help you with objectives, and they can change their classes very easily and come help you.
It's only an online game?
No, it's got a storyline, but you can play through the storyline co-op.
Yeah, and you can change your class at any time.
Not any time. Well, at a
station.
Yeah, there's like...
You don't have to die to change your class, which is a unique change. But, depending upon how you upgrade your weapons, depends upon what class you may want to use and things. And you could basically... There's almost limitless customization of your weapons and outfits, from your boots to your face paint.
You look like you were about to fall asleep while you were saying that. You look like you were into it for a second, but then you almost fell asleep.
Because you're giving me the I don't care look.
No, I wasn't giving you that look.
Yeah, you were.
No, that wasn't that look. I have a lazy eye.
Is that what that is?
Actually, my left eye has been twitching. Before I came here, like, it was doing that, and then it stopped.
4 days with me and you.
Yeah, that was it. I don't know. I thought I had the
problem.
I gave
you a nervous tick.
Right, I thought I had the problem B, but I guess it came back. Anything else at Bethesda?
You saw something else.
Yeah. What?
You saw Hunted.
Oh, I played Hunted, which is like a two-player. It's Gears of War meets Golden Axe.
Yeah.
And you play two-player co-op, and there's you got the barbarian guy, and you got the bow and arrow girl.
And for those who aren't paying, the theme of this year's E3 has to be this game meets this game, because that's how we've described every game so far.
Right. And
well, that's how you can easily relate, because that's going to lead into our next one, because then we went to Sega.
And oh, yeah, we saw
Vanquish.
Which is what game meets what game?
Which is Gears of War meets Virtua On.
Yeah.
Meets the Matrix.
I would even say with like a little bit of like Ikaruga thrown in there, just with the amount of bullets and things flying around.
You keep giving this bullet hell shmup thing to it.
That's what it feels like to me.
Okay, well, that's fine. To me, it just feels like a good
shooter.
Good shooter. This is my game of show. Like, this is my favorite game that I've seen. It's made by Platinum Games, the guys behind Bayonetta. And it's got really good style to it and everything. And the shooting's fun. The sliding around on your knees with the jetpack is fun.
In slow motion
and kicking someone in the face.
Kicking somebody up in the air and then shooting them. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. And you can get in big mech vehicles and walk around. And it's... was just a lot of fun to play.
My only fear is that they're gonna do what they did with Bayonetta and like make a lot of annoying, frustrating scenes in there where I saw that boss fight that you were doing, Wombat, and it looked like it was gonna take forever.
Yeah, I heard that boss fight actually is really, really long. But,
so like that, I hated that about Bayonetta.
You know what it's a little like too? Did you ever play Gungrave?
I did play Gungrave.
On the PS2?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like that.
It was a little like that.
Any game where you can slow down time and shoot people, I'm down.
We saw at Sega The Conduit 2. If you only have a Wii, I would suggest that might be the first person shooter for you. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot better than The Conduit 1.
I missed that appointment, so.
You'll get over that one.
I think
you might already be over it.
I think I'm a little bit over it. What was next?
Oh. I just closed my thing.
Next up, we saw the new Lara Croft downloadable game.
That's right, and that game looks really good, and that's out soon. So.
Yeah, it's not anything like Tomb Raider, other than it has Lara Croft in it. It's more like Trine, a 3D perspective Trine.
Yeah, isometric.
Yeah.
Right. It's got the Baldur's Gate camera.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate camera with Lara Croft and... a dude.
Some South American...
Some tribal-looking dude.
King Mucky Muck, I think his name was.
Yes. King Mucky Mucka?
King Chuck Muck.
King Chuck Muck.
Pretty sure that was it.
Yes. But are you Joe?
That might have been him.
Yes. The King of the Wolpani Woos.
Yeah, that looked good. $15, they said?
Yeah, I think that's a fair price for that. They said it was at least 6 hours to play through, I think. Yep.
No, and it has a lot of customization and replayability, according to the way they described it, mm-hmm. with lots of challenges. So, that was nifty.
Yeah. What else we got? Then we went to Rock Band 3.
We saw the keytar. Keyboard. It's actually just a keyboard. It's not a keytar.
Right. I guess you could do it as a keytar, though, because it has a little nubbin.
It has, I saw the nubbin.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's Rock Band.
It looks good. We didn't play any of it, because that... presentation takes a long time.
How much of it when they did that presentation? How much did it feel like you were at a Chuck E. Cheese when they opened the curtains and they were all?
They do that same presentation every year.
I know,
right? We felt like we were just there last year because it was the exact same presentation as last year, except with the real instruments.
Yeah,
I mean that's cool. Like if I could learn to play a song on a piano playing that game, I think that's a bonus.
No, I'm really Rock Band 3. I'm really looking forward to it because I have a full size Yamaha keyboard.
Me too.
so I can just get the MIDI adapter and be ready to go.
But it's so heavy, you gotta put it by your TV.
What?
There's a keyboard.
It's got a keyboard stand. I can just put it on the keyboard stand.
All right. Mine's heavy. That's all I'm saying.
Help.
I don't have one. I have a guitar, though.
Right.
I can plug that bitch in.
Does your guitar have a MIDI?
No.
Just force it.
Pretend.
I don't know. It looked cool. Whatever. The song list looked good, too, for what they revealed.
Yeah.
And they were giving away free copies of Green Day Rock Band for whoever played Green Day Rock Band there.
Yeah. Which we didn't. Which we didn't even play.
Not a good sign.
The problem is you do all these appointments, and like they're never on time. You're always running late. They're running late. So you, a lot of stuff you just can't even get
your hands first on. Appointment of the day is always late because you can't even like get into the show floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like the show floor opens at 10, and your appointment is at 10.
So everybody's
but it takes 15 minutes before you get into the show floor because of the crowds. So everybody's already running 15 minutes late before the day even starts.
First appointment should always be at 10:15.
Okay, so let's move to when we saw that Mexican wrestling game.
That was fun. Right? It was fun. It was
that
fun.
Music was awesome.
Lucha Libre.
Yeah, Lucha Libre.
Yeah, it had the typical stuff that's always tricky with wrestling games where people are constantly like trying to grab and they're just grabbing at air.
Right.
Or like you go in for a move and there's like not all the frames of animation are there, but right. All of a sudden the guys are like in different positions. But it looked like a fun wrestling game, and it was very authentic, I guess.
It's made by Mexicans.
It is. And all the announcing is in Spanish, and there's no English.
No, Mexican.
It's in Mexican.
You have special moves. The special move they showed was kicking a guy in the groin.
Right. That's pretty special. Watch a guy get his nuts bashed in repeatedly.
That was true and
very
funny.
Very special.
But you can do that in... Oh, I didn't mention. I saw... It wasn't on the schedule, but the first thing I did when I got to the show floor the first day was go and see Bulletstorm. Because one of my most anticipated games to see. And you can definitely shoot people in the groin there, and they topple over, and then you blow their head off. But that game is all about killing people in creative ways. And so you have like a lasso, like electronic whip or something,
right.
And you can pull the people towards you, and then... As they're coming towards you, you can shoot them, and then when they get closer to you, you can kick them back up in the air, shoot them some more, and as you perform, like, good headshots and stuff, like, I guess your combo gets better, and you can do more skill-based stuff, and then, I don't know.
How does it compare to Vanquish?
Well, it's a first-person shooter.
Okay, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so, it... The environments themselves feel like outdoor levels and gears. It's kind of like a hedge maze of...
Stuff to hide behind?
Yeah. But no, you're not hiding behind it, but it's just like the way you're moving through it. It just feels like that kind of hedge maze type thing. The only thing... Like, I really liked what I played. It's just going to be difficult to see if it stretches out over a whole game. Because you only had two guns, I think, in this demo, and only like two different kinds of grenades. But you can like wrap people up with like... There's grenades that have a chain in between them, and you throw them at them, and it wraps around the guys. And then you can, like, toss those guys in amongst a whole bunch of other guys, or throw them on, like, a cactus plant and impale them. Definitely a fun game, but there's no co-op, I don't think. I think it's just single player.
Multiplayer at all?
I might be wrong about that. It's been a while since I saw it, but it was fun.
Well, here's a game that everybody's been talking about throughout the whole show, John Daly Golf.
I skipped that appointment, so...
That is all me. Imagine that.
How was it?
That
PlayStation
I was
Move?
Saw that. It is PlayStation Move. That was the PlayStation Move game that I played.
For if you don't want to buy, like, Tiger Woods.
You don't like Tiger Woods. Yeah, in case you don't like Tiger Woods.
If you're offended by his sexual escapades.
Yeah, you want an alcoholic instead of
a sexaholic.
Yeah.
You were offended by those sex
games. I was. Because I wasn't invited.
Right.
This is done by the people who did the Pro Swing, I think. Pro Stroke.
The standalone thing.
The thing that was on the original Xbox where you had a little club. In principle, the Move actually kind of works with this, but it's still difficult to get the proper feedback. So you're swinging in air, yeah. It does show meters to show you, like, hey, you're going to... You've brought it back like 80% of the way or whatever, but then coming through and getting like twisting your hands, it needs work on that. It needed work on the ball physics a little bit, but they said that they were working on that stuff still.
Well, when you were there, I went over to the Gazillion, met with the Gazillion folks, and played the Marvel Superhero Squad MMO, which it's cute. I mean, it's aimed at, you know, the way they see it is it could be a good game for either parents to play with kids or for like the 5 to 12-year-old set. So, I mean,
really jonesing for that MMO.
Yeah, it's really simple. It's all you only use a mouse, and you only use the mouse buttons to do everything.
Do you get to play as the Marvel characters? Or?
Yeah, you play as the Marvel characters, and you choose whichever one you want to play as, and you could change between missions.
So there's like 8,000 Iron Mans.
No, it's not like that. There's a hub world, and that's where you would see 8,000 Iron Mans. But when you actually do a mission, you have the choice of either doing it solo or doing it, you know, online co-op with 3 other people. But that's it.
So if you got on and played this game, it'd be like you playing with a bunch of 7-year-old girls?
Yes, it would be me playing, yeah.
Sweet.
And you could go up and you could, you know, you push 1-2-1 through whatever, and you can make the thing make funny faces to people, and that's about.
All right. Sounds.
But it's cute. I mean, if you know the Superhero Squad animation, it's that style. It's cute. It's a good game if you're looking for that. And yeah, I'd be interested to see what the pricing structure is on it.
Should we skip some of these here?
Sure.
Supremacy MMA?
I can talk about it really fast.
Okay.
It's pretty early on still, but it's a lot different than the other MMA games because it's some of the guys that used to do Mortal Kombat, and everything's a lot faster. Like, all the punches to me look like the fast Mortal Kombat punches.
Right.
And they also worked on the UFC games that were on the Dreamcast, which I really liked. So some of that on-the-mat stuff, they say is going to resemble that. They didn't show that, but it looks pretty good.
Okay.
They had a lot of corporate sponsorships in their game, too. So it looks...
Looks real?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to have backing.
Okay, good. We went to Eidos. Am I the only one that saw anything there, or what?
No, we both saw King Lynch, but you King Lynch too, but you actually played it.
Oh, I played it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Kane and Lynch uses this weird camera where they're trying to make everything look like a YouTube video or like a surveillance video. They think that that's what makes a game or something look realistic because you're used to seeing, like, when you see like some weird crime video, it's always like something on YouTube that kind of looks blurry. And so they actually use that effect on the game.
The whole game?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, that sounds really annoying.
Shipwreck liked it and I didn't like it.
I liked it. I thought it was a pretty neat, like...
It was a good idea.
I can see it for, like, sometimes. It sounds like sometimes food, not everyday food.
Maybe. I mean, I played the multiplayer.
Which one were you playing, the multiplayer where everybody's trying to get out with as much money as they can?
Yeah, what's that called?
Get out with as much money as they can.
Fragile Alliance.
Fragile Alliance, yeah.
Dude. Well, I like the first game. I'm minority.
That mode looked cool.
Yeah, that was from the first game, though, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that. And, you know, co-op. I don't know. I wasn't as excited for it after. You know, I was more excited for it before I actually played it.
And then you and I left. I met you at Canaan Lunch. And we went through. That's what you said. Where are you? I'm at Canaan Lunch.
Right. Should we skip ahead? Maybe we should skip ahead some of all these. Should we talk about the keg party? Should we jump right to that?
Yeah, let's do that.
So we did the keg party at the Golden Gopher from 9 to 2. And it was great. I mean, over 350 people showed up.
I got a vest.
Wombat got a red vest, so he looks just like Barry.
From Alan Wake.
Yeah, the guy clicked to everybody, so I know how many people were there. And it was great. I mean, a lot of people showed up and said hi to us, took pictures with us.
Some dude puked in the bathroom.
It wasn't me. And, you know, we had a lot of, it wasn't uncomfortably crowded. It was a good amount of people. It was a perfect amount. Nobody didn't have to wait online to get in.
I got rid of a lot of PR stuff that had been sitting around my house.
I got rid of all of his junk.
Not that many scary
people. Congrats, everyone.
Right.
The scariest person was on the walk there, I would say.
Oh, yeah. We were like, yeah. There was some guy in a hooded sweatshirt, like with barely any of his face showing.
Who I'm pretty sure was going to try and kill all 3 of us.
Well, that happened last time we went to the Golden Gopher.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get the killing vibe from him.
I kept an eye on him. Don't worry. I had your back.
I appreciate it.
Maybe, like, he would have gotten one stab in before I could have stopped
Where is it? Whoa, stop that. Right. Like, oh, sorry about that.
I just want to make sure he's actually stabbing you and not, like, patting you on the shoulder.
Because
like,
it happens.
Big fan. Mm-hmm. Did anything else of interest happen at the keg party besides everybody had a good time?
We drank.
Yeah. And that was it, really. We gave away stuff. We drank. Mm-hmm.
Met a lot of CAGs, so it was nice.
It was good. All right. So now, today, last day, we started off with Warner Brothers. What do we see?
So Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat looks good.
It looks really good.
It looks fun.
Yeah. Really? Another theme I've noticed at E3 this year, and you could either agree or disagree, is I think character models are getting bigger and bigger in games in general. And I think Mortal Kombat is a good example of that, because the characters look huge in that game. So
they're bigger than they have been. Yeah. Like the way the backgrounds are 3D, so the characters are still moving in 2D, but they kind of have like a circular pattern around the background, like they're going around the edge of the background, like 360, circling around it. The fatality stuff looks good. The X-ray mode looks good.
Yeah, that's like, you know, they're capitalizing on like the whole meter thing that people use in fight games. Mm-hmm. So one of the special moves you can do when you build up your meter is the X-ray, and you do some really brutal looking move. Why, you know, it doesn't end the round or anything, but you know,
They should totally be dead, but it does affect like the character model. So like, by the time you're done, if you've gotten beaten up really bad, like your face is almost just like your skull falling with off. Meat yeah. on it. And I really like that you can play the 2-on-2 battles.
Right.
Where,
you're doing combos.
You do combos with the two characters at the same time. Like, you bring out a person like Sub-Zero, he would freeze somebody, then you could have Scorpion come in and like use his harpoon on him.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
That was pretty cool.
People liked it too during
that. Yeah, there's a huge line for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Just see it, just to go to a theater and watch them.
The
play
new
it.
Was it NetherRealms?
The new NetherRealms Studio. Yeah, it's the new Ed Boon
Boon company.
That looked cool. Like if they could just, I was talking to Ship about it, and like my problem with that game is I don't want to learn everybody's fatality. Everybody's at least two fatalities. It's too many things to memorize, so we want them to put it up on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, like have a casual mode where every fight is easily ended by a fatality. Because that's what the game is based on.
Right, the question is, would you rather have the instructions where it says A, A, B, B, up, down, up, down, up, down? That's or would you rather have a casual mode where it's like...
One button.
Where it's, where when it says fatality, just push the A button.
No, I think the QuickTime event would be a good way to...
Just show
it. Like an actual QuickTime event.
No,
like
it doesn't need to be that, though, either. Just show the button, the controls.
I think a QTE would be a nice evolution for the game, actually.
Well, I don't want it for the... I think the, like...
For, like, online. Hardcore, online. No, definitely not. Yeah. But I think like a single player easy mode, I think that definitely would work.
Because that's why people are buying the game, is to see that stuff. Yeah. You don't want to make it so hard that
nobody can do it. I agree.
And it's got 26 characters.
And DLC?
And DLC characters.
There's a box on the character selection screen in the bottom right that said DLC on it. So,
yeah, I saw it.
So I'm assuming like there are DLC characters.
It said, your money goes here, into this box on the character select screen.
And then we split up for a second. You guys went and played Scribblenauts, right?
We did. We checked out Super Scribblenauts. That looks a lot better. Of course, you can control with the D-pad now. You can have direct control of your character if you want. All the adjectives and everything were really cool. They got rid of splitting it into action and puzzle stages, and now it's mainly puzzle, which was the good stuff from the first one. Mm-hmm. So it's a better version of Scribble. This is like what the first version should have been.
Well, the first one was really a proof of concept more than a game.
Yeah, this seems like it's more like a fully featured game. Very puzzle oriented, but...
Well, the puzzles were fun.
Yeah.
I played, Batman, the Brave and the Bold, while you were playing that, which is a 2D side scroller on the Wii. It looks, graphically, it looks really good. It has that hand drawn animation look. The voice acting in it, they use all the voice actors. And you can hook your DS, if you have the DS game, which actually I think the DS game may look a little better than the Wii title. You can control a player in the Wii version through your DS. And you can control Batmite, who's like a little mischievous Batman, and you can drop items. It's good if you have like a friend there that doesn't really play games but wants to do something. Right. And he's voiced by Pee Wee Herman, and it's pretty funny.
Batmite?
Yeah, Batmite's voiced by Pee Wee Herman. And I mean, if your friend's a jerk, you could drop anvils on your head.
Oh, wait, we should talk about that. South Peak. We gotta go back to South Peak for a second.
We saw two worlds and there's if you play as a mage, you have a lot of spells, and one of the spells that they have is drop anvils, and you select it, and it drops a bunch of anvils from the sky. And another spell you could select is whirlwind. And if you select the anvils and you drop the anvils from the sky, and it's a whole bunch of anvils.
Yeah, like probably 30 or so.
Yeah, raining anvils. And then do the tornado, anvils swirl all over the screen, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you get like a shield of anvils circling around you. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
How was that game otherwise, Two Worlds?
It looks a lot better than the first one did.
Right. It's got some pretty impressive lighting, like, yeah, in the caves and everything when you're down there.
It's really going to be a question of how the finished product is on that.
It's tough to make that game without it being really buggy. Like, yeah, this, I mean, even Oblivion and stuff
was buggy.
It's buggy.
It's going to be a question of how buggy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How long do they want to wait to put it out?
No, it's coming out this October, yeah, I think.
Oh, okay. Let's, if we could skip ahead maybe to 2K.
And our presenter for that game actually showed up at the CAG party.
Oh.
Yes, she did. Okay, 2K, we saw XCOM, which I was very excited to see. It's the 1950s alien invasion game from the BioShock.
Oh, we've already figured out the formula for this one. Mad Men versus X-Files versus BioShock. Versus
Men in Black.
Yeah, I mean, it has that.
Not X-Files. Yeah, which X-Files, yeah. And Men in Black.
It has a very BioShocky look to it graphically. That shine, that BioShock shine, is on everything. Yeah. But I mean, it looks like it could be all right. It was weird because they stress things like, you know, when you pick certain weapons, you know, this weapon is more powerful, but you really have to pay attention because it uses a lot of ammo. But then when they were playing the game, there was no HUD. So I couldn't really get a sense of how...
Well, the weapons they're talking about on that, you could actually see on the weapons themselves, I think.
Was it on there?
If you looked at the slime... What were they calling those? The goo...
The goo grenades?
Goo... Whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah, goo grenades or whatever. If you looked in the bottle that he was holding, there was like liquid in there that was at different heights.
I thought that was just the grenade. Like, he had multiple grenades. Is it one grenade?
No, I think it came out of that.
No, I see. I just thought it was he was tossing grenades.
Because I think the same thing was on... maybe I'm wrong, but he had the electricity gun or something.
Yeah.
And I think that had something on the gun itself that showed.
Yeah, because they didn't... If that was the case...
They didn't explain it.
Yeah, they didn't explain it. So they should have said, hey, we're not using a HUD. Instead, look at your weapon to see how much ammo was in it. Because that would be a unique idea for a game that takes place in the 50s. But, yeah, it was kind of, there was no way of really telling what your resources management, you know, was.
And we didn't see a lot of it.
But, yeah, they didn't really show
that much of it. I was really looking forward to it. I'm still looking forward to the game, but I'm disappointed with what they showed.
I like the environments, though. The environments are really cool. Looking. Yeah. Like, they took us to, like, a suburban neighborhood. And mm-hmm.
See, I'd seen the suburban neighborhood already. That's in the trailer. Like I'd already seen all this, pretty much.
So the room, cool. The room was nice.
What room?
The room that we saw it in.
Great. Yeah. So, it looked good. I'll buy that game. I'll play that game.
It looks like it has a lot of potential. I know I sound negative, but the game has a lot of potential.
No, I'm just negative on it because of what we... Like, we didn't get to see as much as I hoped.
Yeah, you just...
You couldn't play it.
Yeah.
But
You saw
Mafia 2. You played a lot of Mafia 2 when we were...
Not a lot.
How many Playboys did you find?
I found no Playboys.
You played enough for me to drink a cup of coffee.
All right. Well, I played some of the single player. The problem with that game is like graphically it's not. And maybe this will change, but it comes out soon though, right?
I think it's pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean it's just not up to snuff with a lot of other open world games. It's just, you know, Red Dead, Grand Theft Auto 4. Like it looks like it needs something.
They've been working on it for a while, so
it looks pixelated, a lot of the environments and stuff. And I don't know. It seems, and you know, I don't know if I want to play in that time period. Like I think an '80s mafia game. They should just make like a Goodfellas game. Like that way, you can have all that cool music. But it seems, I don't know, like the music. If you like that kind of music, '50s. Music and
well, the weird thing is they're both set in the 50s, both XCOM and Mafia, but it's very different visual styles.
Yeah.
Like, XCOM is the, like, utopian 50s. It's like they looked at a poster of... Same thing they did with BioShock.
It's like a Leave It to Beaver.
A poster of something.
It's Leave It to Beaver 50s.
Yeah.
Mad Men, too. Mm-hmm. Also.
Mad Men 60s. Mad Men 60s.
59.
Yeah.
All right. So, then Capcom.
Yeah, Capcom, we saw Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Which looks really good, actually. We all played, and I beat Cheapy, Shipwreck beat me.
Mm-hmm.
I like the visual style. that, you know, that sort of 3D look. Very, you know.
It's similar to Street Fighter, but I like this visual better than Street Fighter. Something about Street Fighter, everybody looked a little bit waxy to me. Like they were just built out of waxy clay. And this one, it still has that, it's more shiny than waxy or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I know what you mean. I think one of the problems that we had is I'm pretty sure that the buttons that they said what they were not what they were.
Yeah, somebody customized them, so it was
So it was kind of weird. But the moves are just as crazy as you remembered, you know, with all the big explosions and shooting. And
it's going to be interesting. Yeah. Like, there was no Spider-Man characters in the demo. They haven't said anything about Spider-Man or any of the Spider-Man characters. That's a pretty big omission for me. Like,
yeah, and we played Dead Rising 2.
Yeah, Ship and I played some co-op of that. You know what struck me the most about that game is how much better the PC version looked. Like, the 360 version looked really pixelated.
Yeah, we saw, was it Jeff Grossman and Ryan Davis playing that
PC version. Looked like and it looked twice as good, like, almost. No? You're looking at me like I'm...
No, I don't know. It did look remarkably like, better. I don't... Twice as good. I don't,
but
I don't,
did you enjoy playing the game?
Seemed all right. It could be fun, I guess. The zombies seem very, like... Maybe they set it to easy or something, because the zombies seem to pretty much ignore you unless you run into them.
Yeah, they were just kind of standing around.
Must have been on easy.
It had to have been. But yeah, because I walked up when you were playing it, and I thought it was like broken or something, because you were just like kind of walking around and the zombies
ignoring
were
me.
Just like standing there.
And we played our one move game of the show there. We played Resident Evil 5.
Oh yeah, the gold edition. If you get the gold edition, now only the gold edition comes with the move support. So if you have an older version of Resident Evil 5, you don't get it.
Oh, that's bullshitty.
I think, I don't remember if it's because of some, I think he said it was a technical issue.
Well, it was one of the things that they had added to it, because Move was supposed to come out when the Gold Edition came out or whatever. Well, but, it wasn't supposed to, but that was, they were trying to line them.
You think they could have like a download, a free download.
Something. But it's going to be free, a free download for the Gold Edition.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. It'll be free.
And then I saw.
I didn't like it, by the way. Yeah, I didn't like controlling that.
It was too awkward.
We should go back for Dead Rising 2. The save system does seem better.
Yeah,
but it
not
still
perfect.
Has the time limit
on the mission.
But now you can have three different save files, so you can't get in the situation that I got in the first game, where I got stuck to where I didn't have enough time to get to whatever my mission was,
right.
And so I had to start the game all over again because I couldn't do anything.
Right.
So now you have three save files, so you can eliminate some of that.
Good.
Yeah, but the time limit is still kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and I saw Okami Den for the DS. That looks good. If you like Okami, if you like Zelda.
If you like Den.
If you like Dens.
And you saw that Ghost game.
Ghost Trick, which that looks cool, but it's kind of hard to demo because it's kind of slow on the show floor.
It's slow, it's wordy, it's from the guy who made Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, it looks good, though. I'll be interested in that.
I like that
fluid animation style.
Yeah.
What else? Then Nintendo. Shin and I went to Nintendo. Wombat went to Ubisoft.
Yes.
And you played.
I played Driver.
Driver. How's Driver?
Driver is interesting. What they did. This is the first time that Driver is being made by Ubisoft. You play as Tanner, who's the character from all the other games. But this time, here's the hook. You're in a coma.
This could be the first game ever that you're playing as somebody who's in a coma.
In a coma. But he doesn't know he's in a coma.
Right.
So he still thinks that he's trying to catch that criminal that he's going after. But all of a sudden, he has the ability to leave his body and jump into other people in other cars.
Other people, too.
Yeah, it's like other people in other cars. Yeah, so you don't actually... There's no, like, on foot. You know, you don't get out of the car and run around.
But you can, right?
No.
There's no on foot stuff.
There's no on foot?
I don't think so.
They didn't show any?
Nothing about being, no, there's no on foot. It's all in the car.
That's how they got around? Because their on foot stuff was the weakest stuff.
Yeah, it's not there. So you're driving. Here's where it works. So you're driving.
It's almost like there's not a human in the game. It's just basically, like your car. Like, oh, I want to be that car over there instead of this car.
You push your, so if you're, say you're chasing, you're in, you know, in a chase. And you're driving and you're driving and you take the turn a little too hard and you go right into the wall. You push the X button and you get out of the car. Your spirit gets out of the car and you could jump right into a car that's like going in the right direction.
I saw it. The camera just pulls back and it's like you can select anything.
Yeah. And you, I played the multiplayer, and you could do that in the multiplayer also.
What?
Yeah. How do you shoot people?
There is no shooting. It's driver, not shooter.
So it's just like a racing game, or what?
Yeah. It's like a mission-style racing game. Like, you know, hit the car into the wall. Did you ever play the first Driver? Driver 1?
Yeah, I did.
There's no shooting in the first driving game. It's all chasing and being chased. Chase or be chased. And then I played, how was it? It's all right. It has potential. But I reserve judgment until I see more of it.
Alright.
Yeah. And then I played Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Right.
I got to play that multiplayer. And I like that multiplayer a lot.
Yeah, tell us the concept of that, because it was cool. Yeah. Cool concept.
So the game mode I played, I thought was really good. I knew what it was called. But it's basically, you know, assassination.
Right.
And you choose... Everyone has to be a different assassin. You can't have two... Like, I was the physician. Yeah, you can't have two people that look like the physician.
Right.
So I picked the physician. And what you do is you're given a specific target of one of the other players. And you could see the face of your target in the top right corner of the screen. Like, that's who you're supposed to go for. And you have a blue circle around, like a compass around you. And you want to follow the line of the compass. And as the blue circle fills in, that's when you know you're getting close. So you don't want to do anything. Like, you could be running when your line is really small, but when you get close, you don't want to run anymore.
Right, because people will see you and they'll know that you're exactly.
And your guy, the guy that, yeah, exactly, the other people will know that that's a controlled character, because there's lots of other physicians in the world other than me. Right. But I could be going after a monk, and there could be lots of other monks. Like, my first assassination was after a monk, and the guy that I was going after was doing that thing, you know, where you can walk in a crowd.
Yeah.
He was walking in a crowd of monks.
Right.
And the first time I went to kill him, I killed another monk.
You lost track, and then that ruins it, right?
And then I had to cancel the contract and had to reset. So I hit, you know, the next time I did it, I found him and I stabbed him right away. It was really cool. And you could disguise yourself. I mean, there's a lot of neat stuff, and you also are being, you know, you're chasing someone, but someone else is chasing you.
Yeah.
So you're always looking over your shoulder for the guy that's coming after you.
Right, for the guy who doesn't look like he's a computer-controlled guy.
Exactly.
But that's a cool part of the game, is because it encourages you to move around like one of the many computer-controlled guys.
It's methodical, and it's paced, and it's very different. The trick is going to be to see if people really support it and play it.
Right.
I mean, you guys saw I came in first place in our...
I took a picture.
You took a picture, because it'll never happen again.
Right. But yeah, that looked cool.
It was really cool.
And that was it for Ubisoft, right?
We looked at Sean White briefly, but it wasn't a hands-on demo, so
yeah.
I really need to play that game to see if it's actually good, because I like the skateboarding games, but... I need to see what the trick system is.
Well, you guys were at Nintendo when I was at Ubisoft.
We're at Nintendo,
Tell me about that. Tell me about Nintendo.
The lines for the 3DS were ridiculously long, but fortunately we had made an appointment, so they moved us into the 3DS area where they probably had like 40 or so 3DSs set up.
They had these really long tables set up, and on one side of the table was a model, a woman. An attractive woman, and with a DS in front of her, and you basically just pick up a DS, and there's all different stuff that you can play. So we played Star Fox. I checked out Star Fox. Star Fox. Yeah, you know what? The 3D effect really works on the 3DS. There's no question about it. It looked like 3D. Now, does that add a lot to gameplay? I don't know.
Some of the tech demos they were showing were neat.
That was cool. They had one. So they did two cool tech demos. One, and they were both weird. One was you take a picture of your face and it puts your face into like a ball and you have to shoot the ball, but it's using the camera on the other side so that whatever you're looking at in the real world is the backdrop for the game. And you can shoot other people in the real world. By just pointing your DS at them, and you know, like if I'm sitting across from Wombat, I can shoot Wombat, and it picks up that that's a person's face, and you get like points.
Yeah, it was neat. And then the other one that was the tech demo was the one where you had to shoot targets, but they were at different angles than what you were oriented to, so you actually had to move there was a card on a table,
right?
And you had to focus on that card to begin with, And then from that point on, you had to move the DS around that card.
Right. And so you're just to get the angles
to get the angles
shots.
On the shots right. And that was kind of neat.
There's a lot of interesting possibilities with that DS. Yeah, 3DS, but those are all just tech demos, so.
Yeah, they had some, I mean, we saw like Mario Kart, it wasn't playable, but we saw what it looks like, and yeah. I
like
the fact
they're gonna sell a lot of
I like the fact that it has the slider on it, because
the 3D
you can really, yeah, you can really, some stuff, even as the tech demo stuff, it was like, I don't really want this on full 3D, because it kind of blurry.
It's making me blind?
Yes, so.
That's the real question.
Yeah, so you could slide it down a little bit, and I like that a lot.
Cool.
But the best thing that happened was where me and Ship are standing next to each other, and you know the model's on the other side of the table, and they're looking at our name badge, and because it says "Cheap Ass Gamer" on it, and of course everybody thinks that's funny, and she thinks we're two big losers, and she's right. But right, like literally, like 5 seconds as she starts giggling about "Cheap Ass Gamer," and we're just thinking, all right, whatever. The guy playing next to us turns to Shipwreck, and he's like, oh my God, he's like, you're Shipwreck. And you can see, like, I was watching the women on the other side of the table, and they were just like, huh? He's like, oh my God, oh my God. He's like, can I shake your hand? And then he looks at me, he's like, you're GBD, oh my God, oh my God. He's like, I got it, can I take it? And then he hands his camera to the model and says, can you take our picture? And so she does it, and then the guy's like, thanks so much, I'm sorry. And he walks away.
Which is cool,
Right, it was perfect. Like, you couldn't have asked for a better time for that to happen. So
hand jobs for everybody.
Right. I think even still that wasn't gonna happen. But, so the guy walks away and the woman's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like I don't even know like what happened. Like
I'm like, yeah, she,
who are you guys?
Yeah. She was
we're C-list internet celebrities. They were impressed.
Yeah, nice. I'm impressed.
And thank you for saying hi, guy that was looking that had waited in line probably for
an
hour,
yeah.
To look at the 3DS.
Oh.
And then, but
the guy that recognized us,
yeah.
Got his picture taken with us.
Oh, okay.
And then from there we went to LucasArts.
Yeah, we went to LucasArts. They said, oh, we have a 3 o'clock appointment. And they said, oh, okay, just go sit in that behind that line of 50 people that are sitting on the floor right now. And then we said goodbye and we walked away.
Yeah, that was disturbing. Like they
it's
had,
not an appointment. Like
they had no idea what they were doing at LucasArts.
Yeah, the whole reason Wombat didn't get to see the 3DS and be with us when we were doing that is because I had reorganized the schedule
to get
LucasArts. So I had shifted the Nintendo schedule earlier, and so yeah.
So for that alone, Force Unleashed 2 gets a 0 out of 10.
And they didn't buy you an Xbox.
And they didn't buy me an Xbox. So go to hell, LucasArts.
All right. Then we went to Konami.
Yes, when we saw what did we see?
Castlevania,
which was.
It was like a poor man's God of War.
Yeah.
Even a poor man's Dante Inferno. But it's probably still early.
I don't know how early it is.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing because it says Kojima Productions on it.
It's not very good.
No,
oh,
it's
yeah,
not.
I did say that.
It did.
Yeah. It's not very good.
It's not.
The one for Xbox Live Arcade looks good.
That looks like fun. Some arcade game for Castlevania.
Yeah, but
that looks pretty badass.
What else did we see at Konami?
We saw that dance game.
Yeah,
we didn't play it, but we saw
and
a lot
the
of...
the other Kinect game with the slalom, which also looked terrible. And
the fun thing about that was we were walking up behind that one, so we could only see the person playing it.
It looked like someone taking a dump.
Yeah, so I was like looking at there. I was like, "What? What do you think that person's playing? Like,
right.
You can't tell what these people are doing. They're just doing ridiculous things."
Wait, where did we play the Wii?
That was at Warner Brothers. We didn't talk about that. Yeah, we imagine
we,
that.
I keep calling it Wii.
And it's not. It's Kinect.
It's Kinect.
Right, it was Game Party.
That was the worst game ever.
So, yeah, they had... So this is our only Kinect experience. This was at Warner Brothers. It was Wii Party. I did it again. Game Party, and they had 3 games. Root Beer Tapper, which requires you to serve the beer you push forward with your hand. And
but the thing is, if you don't put your hands like behind your back...
After you're done pushing,
it'll just keep sending out beers.
Like, yeah, I kept sending out like 3 beers.
Yeah, you go to send beer to one person and it would send out like 6 beers.
It was basically the experience that we were worried about having with the Kinect.
Yeah, it felt no different than playing any other game with the, you know, with just a camera.
Yeah, I totally understand.
The thing was, to get it started every time, you had to hold your hand in a certain position.
Down.
To down, but like slightly up, but
in front of you and down.
In front of you and down. And then like you had to hold it there for a while until the game launched. And Wombat could never get it right on the first try.
No.
The guy always had to like say, no, no, do this, do this. And so that has me thinking, like, this is supposed to be for a casual audience. Like, people are supposed to come over. It's supposed to be like, all right, come on, we'll go play. Like, it doesn't require a controller. No, it requires the same amount. Like, you don't
still have to know.
You still have to explain, like, how to do everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot more explanation in Kinect games than there is in a controller-based game.
No, no, it would be the same. Like, if a casual person, you like handed them a 360 controller.
You would know the sticks.
But there's that, you know, it's the, okay, here's the controller, you move, you shoot, go for it.
Right.
It may be the same amount of explanation, yeah, but I don't think it really cuts out much. That, and I really don't like games without any tactile.
The best thing about Game Party, though,
this is the best.
Is that while you're playing, it takes pictures of you. And so,
and it shows them to you.
It shows you people at the end. You get 3 photos at the end of each game. And these can, I guess, be linked to like your Facebook account and everything. But there's this one picture. We all three took turns playing Root Beer Tapper. And there's this one picture that always showed up in the top right corner where all of us were always just standing there like,
is it over yet?
Look, we're going on board. We're just sitting there staring.
I don't know what happens. For the third picture in that sequence, it happens at a time where you realize that you never want to play another Kinect game ever again.
Okay, I think we're at Activision now, are we?
Yes.
Our last appointment of the show was Activision. We went and we saw True Crime, which is the textbook case on how not to present a game behind closed doors.
Especially not the last meeting of the day.
No,
Thursday.
The guy would not shut the hell up. It was a 30-minute appointment to see this game, and he spent 25 minutes talking.
You're not looking at anything.
Yeah, without showing it, with showing a blank TV.
Showing the video in screen.
We all fell asleep during it at different points, and he's talking about how great the game is, and the gameplay he showed nothing of what he talked about.
No, they showed some, like, brawling hand-to-hand stuff,
and
then they showed like
terrible.
They showed like a motorcycle for like 5 minutes, right. And it was just like I had more enjoyment looking over and seeing GPD sleeping underneath air conditioning.
Yeah.
The nice part was that Wombat woke me up and then started laughing. Way to be subtle. You're supposed to be just like, you know, give me a little poke and then look away, but Wombat gives me a little poke and just starts laughing.
That's because I'd given up on the appointment.
Right.
I was like, I really don't care. But I did ask a question.
You did ask a question.
I asked a question because I was bothered. Like, they showed the gameplay, and you're supposed to be playing as a Hong Kong police officer, and everyone else in the game talks with a stereotype accent, except for the Hong Kong police officer, who sounds like a white guy from Middle America.
Right.
And that kind of bothered me.
Right.
So I asked them. Yeah, I think they're going to change that.
Then we saw Call of Duty Black Ops.
Mm-hmm.
We got to watch them play that. It wasn't playable. We saw the scene where they fly the helicopter. Well, you fly your own helicopter and shoot things. And
you should bridge.
What?
I've seen that bridge
blow
up a lot of times.
These rope bridges.
The rope Indiana Jones bridge.
Right, explodes like it was holding nuclear waste in there or something. but look, the game looked the graphics looked great. It looked like a good game.
While you guys were checking that out, I was actually checking out DJ Hero 2.
Oh, that's right.
And I got to play that.
Okay.
And that's good. It adds some new stuff to where there's parts where you actually get to fill in your own scratches. So before it was just like preset when you scratched.
Right.
It would just do that. Right. Now you can like actually in certain spots, make your own. Like it actually reacts to how you're doing your arm. And then like it did the 2-player stuff where you can take control of the track from the other person if you do it faster. So right. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Cool.
Anything else at Activision? Spider-Man.
Looks good.
Looks all right.
More fighting in Spider-Man, less swinging.
Yeah.
And is that it?
That's it.
That was our show. That was our whole show, basically. You know, and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're gonna go eat dinner. So I don't know. Goodbye. Next week we'll do another show.
It'll be normal.
This, I mean, come on. This was the best CAG coverage ever of E3. I mean, we had Twitter.
We had some audio booze until we got lazy and the network was
well, the
so
network
bad.
Is, the phone network is so bad here, you can't do anything. You know, and you know what? A lot of the games, the E3 overall, I think, was disappointing.
Yeah, let's
game-wise,
talk about that.
Just because, you know, half the stuff is basically move and connect, and if you don't care about that, then...
And the other half is sequels.
Yeah.
That aren't really, frankly, that much different. I mean, the good stuff, the sequels, is still good.
Right.
The bad stuff, the sequels are still bad.
Yep.
And the stuff that seems fresh is stuff like Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam, because they're good again.
Yeah, and they were both once Midway properties.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for listening.
You're
we're going to get some food for you listening.
Yeah, I listened. Yeah,
it's hard to do if you don't listen.
No.
Not that hard. No. Okay, well, thanks, and we'll see you next time from our usual spots.
What button should I push?
Push the red button now.
This kid just got a video game for Christmas. He can look forward to years of fun trying to reach 18 million. This kid just got a Commodore VIC-20 home computer. He can look forward to learning basic computer language, doing his own programs, playing some games along the way, and maybe even inventing his own games. Oh, a final argument for the VIC-20. Someday, both kids will be looking for a job.
Hey guys, it's Shipwreck here. It's the first morning of E3, and well, we haven't seen a whole lot of video games yet because E3 proper has not started, but Cheapy did go to the Project Natal / Microsoft Connect event last night, and I'm sure you guys have seen the pictures and everything like that, and I'm sure Cheapy will talk about it on a CAGcast here soon. As far as our coverage for this year, we aren't going to do a whole lot of writing, which that kind of falls into suit with what we've done in the past. But we are hoping to bring more coverage this year because we're going to do a lot of tweeting. We have that tweet box up on the front page of CAG. We're going to do a lot of audio booze in between everything that we see. At least that's the plan. And we're also going to get some CAGcasts in there. And we are going to be posting to our Flickr stream as well. So lots of photos. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the photos that we're posting so far, and there'll be a lot more to come. Today, Cheapy is going to be going to the Microsoft press conference. Wombat's going to be going to the Ubisoft press conference. I'm going to be going to the Virgin Gaming launch party. And then we are all going to be going to an Activision event tonight. It's supposed to have a very special musical guest. So we will report back on all of that stuff. And yeah, we'll stay in touch. I'm going to go get some coffee.
All right, guys, it's Cheapy D here coming at you. We are right after the Microsoft press conference. I'm here with Wombat and Shipwreck, and I'm also here with Flynn and David from Gay Gamer.
Woo!
Yeah.
So let's start with Wombat. What'd you think?
Kinect. I'm not a fan of Kinect.
Too much Kinect in that press conference.
Way too much Kinect. And it looks as though they're finally going to make the Episode 1 equivalent of a Star Wars game. So I can't wait for that.
Right, where you can't actually control the guy, you just swing your arms, you just can't control where he moves.
And you don't even hold a lightsaber, you just kind of pretend to hold a lightsaber.
Right. There's nothing to hold, you just wave.
Wave.
Right. Nobody can see you moving your hands.
I work better with my hands. I do this when we record, but you normally can't see me. Right. This exact motion.
All right, Ship, step up here, Ship. What do you think?
I was paying attention for the first half of it, the first half hour or so. There was some good stuff. The Halo Reach ship battles looked awesome.
I must have been tweeting during that because I was talking with Nick from Co-Optimus, and he's like, oh, the ship combat looks cool. I was like, ship combat?
Yeah, it looks like the Star Wars Starfighter, Jedi Starfighter stuff that was on Xbox.
Cool.
It looks good.
I don't know how I missed that. I think I was too busy helping Flynn with his Twitter.
Yeah, like all the first half hour was just like cutscene or gameplay footage of all games that I want to play. And then
you have all the games you don't want to play. You have Wii Sports HD and...
I don't want to shout at my Xbox and make it do stuff. I don't want to wave at my Xbox. I don't want any of that crap.
You don't
want
to say Xbox off? Xbox out!
I don't get it. I'm still have to turn it on with my finger.
Right.
I guess you can't say Xbox on, can you? Unless unless the Kinect stays on, like when it's plugged in. I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know. Screw everything that happened in the last hour of that.
Especially Cheapy getting a free Xbox and us not.
No, that was the best part.
Yeah, that was the best part.
That, let me tell you something. I just learned something very important if I ever become an executive. The best way to end your press conference is say, everybody who's watching this press conference gets a free
Oprah.
Xbox.
Yeah, Oprah's been doing that for years.
Because people were like, woo! Like, you know, during the whole, like, you know, no one was going crazy about, you know, running in place or anything like that.
And then everybody in our room was just like, son of a bitch!
Yeah. I booed.
That's funny. So, Flynn, what are your thoughts? Besides having an awesome mustache, best in show mustache, what do you think?
I don't know, the guy at the bowling alley may have topped that.
That's right, the guy at Lucky Strike. Very similar mustache.
Yeah, he's similar, but little.
Yes.
More curly.
It depends on your style. I prefer the smaller Poirot style, personally.
See, I was thinking Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, well, sure, that too. But I think, I don't know. I thought even the games that I wasn't interested in, you know, your I'll probably get crucified for this, but your Halos, your Gears of Wars, and your that sort of thing, I thought they looked really gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like definitely the graphics have, like, taken a jump again. But the Kinect thing, I think I need to wait to see what it actually does, like, for real, instead of watching someone else do it. I think there's a difference there.
You don't want to pet a virtual tiger?
No, I have an insane cat and a really great dog. I don't really need a virtual pet. But I will say, as far as, like, the voice command control, for somebody who lives with two completely tech-unsavvy people, that'll be great for them, because now all I got to do is just turn it on and go, okay, just talk at it, and it'll do whatever you want. You don't have to, like, mess with the 56 controls and not be able to figure out how to turn
how
it on.
How many Zoom movies and music do you currently own?
Oh, yeah. None.
So it's not going to be useful at all now, is it?
Right. No, if it works on Netflix,
I don't think it will.
All right, we're running out of time. David, your thoughts? Right. I know you said, you brought up a good point when we got out of there. You said you have a dog.
Yeah, I think downstairs neighbors and dogs are going to kill the product. I think the technology looks really great. I don't know if waving your arms is going to extend the life of the console for another 5 years. And I'm pretty sure that after 25 minutes of driving with an invisible wheel, you are going to get tired no matter how much of a Jedi you are. Also, one of the reasons you play Jedi games is so that you don't have to be a Jedi. If I have to learn the moves of a Jedi to be a Jedi, I don't want to do it.
Right. That's a good point. But your dog will have a good time running around and ruining your game.
Yeah, exactly.
Jumping into
your
picture.
Exactly. And fighting the tiger.
Well, we have 15 seconds left. Closing thoughts. I really enjoyed getting the free Xbox.
Yes.
And I enjoyed the dismemberments in the beginning, and I enjoyed Shipwreck's graph. And all right, that's it. We will do this again soon.
Now talk. Okay, so they walk you in, and every rider gets a station. And on the station is a TV in a wrapped box. And they have the designers of the new 360, which is officially called the 360 250 gig. That's the name. It's not a slim. It's not. Yeah, I almost don't want to say that in the headline because it doesn't sound like anything. So you unwrap your present, and it's a retail boxed 360 250 gig. And then the designers of the hardware basically go around and do, like, interviews with everyone and walk you through all the things on the hardware that's new. So it was kind of neat, but it wasn't, like,
right.
Like a huge hard-hitting news story or anything.
Was it Japanese guys?
It was, no, it was,
yeah, it wasn't.
It was a bunch of Americans and someone who sounded like Swedish or something. I'm sure that sounds terribly xenophobic because right. I'm American and I don't know what any of those accents are.
But no Asian people.
No Asian people.
Okay.
So well, I mean, I bumped into Ken Zhang, who does PR for Microsoft. He's definitely Asian.
He designed it, actually. PR guy and he designed it.
There you go. So, yeah, it's interesting. It actually does cool things.
Right.
Like, there's a powered connector in the back
right.
that you plug the Kinect directly into. And then all you have to do is plug in the 360 and the whole thing gets powered. If you don't have that, you'll need two power supplies for your Kinect and your 360. The buttons are touch sensitive, not buttons.
Right.
So it's like your PS3. Like
right.
you just kind of lightly right. touch your finger to it.
Right.
I kind of hate that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. It's
I never know when I'm shutting off my PS3.
It's fun when you like play with it at first though, because it feels vaguely futuristic, and then like you get confused by it because you want to press down.
No, I'm thinking it is too.
There's
wanted to try one.
There's five USB ports.
There's two in the front and three in the rear. What else is new?
Thank you.
I think it died.
I think
it's something fun.
Yeah, it did.
Are there any buttons on the
what's
the
that?
Kinetic unit?
They didn't show the Kinetic. We get to play with that tonight.
Hey guys, I just got back from the Virgin Gaming launch event, and for those of you who don't know what that is, because I didn't go in, it is an online gaming competition for consoles where you actually bet money and can win money back and prizes for both the 360 and PS3. Apparently it's going to be launching tomorrow, and it's going to be free for the summer. So you can win valuable cash and prizes on there.
Wait. You bet money? What are you betting on?
You're betting on your skill, and it's got different skill levels. I don't know what games it's for yet, but...
You play against other people?
You play against other people online. There's like three different tiers of skill level, so anybody has a chance to win, apparently.
Right.
There's a lot of ifs
right.
and questions about this, but it got to the question and answer session, and this was a very small event. There was like maybe 30 people there, and like... It had Sir Richard Branson was there. He like flew in on a space shuttle and and he gave a little bit of the presentation. But so it gets to the question and answer part of this, and I'm sitting there. I got plenty of questions to ask. First person goes up, they or raise their hand, answer, get their question answered, and they're like, "Yeah, this is so and so from the BBC." And then the next person comes up, they get their question. "Yeah, this is so and so from CBS News." Next person, "Yeah, this is so-and-so from MTV News." And I raise my hand. "Yeah, this is Robert Good from Cheap Ass Gamer." Of course, it gets a laugh throughout the whole thing. But, yeah, I felt right in place there. The weird thing was there was a couple gaming sites there. Like, VG Charts was there. And I swear when I said, "I'm Robert Good from Cheap Ass Gamer," I swear somebody went, "Shipwreck!" Like, during this thing. So it was pretty crazy. But, the service itself, if it can deal with the droppers and all the stuff that comes along with people cheating, could be interesting.
But it's legal to bet money and
they say video game competitions? They say since it's skill-based, they can get around stuff. Like, apparently they've been working on this for a while, and it's been out there just under a different name. Like, Virgin just bought this company. It was World Gaming.
Oh, okay. It sounds interesting. I'm not going to bet on it because I'm not going to win any money.
I'll try it out during the free service.
Right.
It links to your gamer tag and stuff. So, and there's going to be games coming out that have this built in or part of their advertising or I don't know. But that's the Virgin Gaming stuff. Very different than what I thought it was going to be.
Right. Wow. Good stuff. Well, I bought pants. That's my report.
I was there. We have a potential for a sweatshirt and show.
No, I don't think so. No. I'm not feeling the new sweatshirt as much as the old one. It's too white.
But
speaking of too white, where's Wombat?
Wombat needs to get down here right now because we're hungry.
All right, we're late for dinner. Anyway, all right, so that's special team coverage. Shipwreck out.
Cheapy out.
All right, we're here with Wombat, and he just got back from the Ubisoft press conference. Not just got back, but got back and like...
I don't know where we are.
We're at Denny's. We were going to go to a nicer restaurant with Chris Grant and Justin from Joystick, but that didn't happen. And then we were running late. So for the Activision party. So we decided to go to Denny's because it's faster. But anyway, here's Wombat.
I went to the Ubisoft event, and it was really good. It was really hot. There was no air conditioning. But the event was pretty good. They showed some pretty interesting games. They showed the new Ghost Recon, which has a lot of potential if the stealth isn't too frustrating. But if the stealth isn't frustrating and the game is actually, you know, is fluid and fun, I mean, it looked really awesome. Like, the demo they put on was really sweet. 2D Rayman looks really cool. Not Rain Man, cheapy. Rayman looks really good. Michael Jackson game seems really creepy. They didn't show any footage of it. Just people dancing, but just the idea seems kind of weird to me. And
is that a motion game or what?
They didn't say anything. They didn't even say what console it was. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not like the fitness game, which we've now seen twice, which if I never see again, I'd be more than okay with that. And they showed a lot of Shaun White skateboarding, which is if Mark Echo is getting up and Flower was somehow molded into a skateboarding game, that would be it. But it had some pretty neat elements, but I'm not much of a skateboarding guy. But, yeah, I think that's it. I'm trying to think what else they showed there. The new Raving Rabbids, Rabbids in Time. Yeah, Shipwreck's giving me a look like, why?
Is it another like story based?
Yeah, I think so. They didn't really show much of it. Oh, they showed Assassin's Creed Brotherhood of something or other, and that looks somewhat decent. It's a continuation of the last game, and it has multiplayer.
Assassin's Creed DLC. Your DLC money was not enough. We need to make another game immediately.
Basically, because that's what it comes off like. But it doesn't look bad. I mean, the guy uses a gun a lot, so there you go.
He's got a gun.
He's got a gun now. And what else does Ubisoft make? Do they make other games?
They make Hawks.
Oh, they made that game that looks like Rez. It's Kinect. Yes, it's Hawks Rez, where you play basically Rez with your hands, and there's a lot of music, and it's the kind of game Cheapy's gonna like.
No Rainbow Six.
No Rainbow Six. Just the only Tom Clancy game was Ghost Recon.
And Hawks.
So
don't forget about Hawks.
And stay tuned for more later. This is Wombat signing out.
Hey guys, this is Shipwreck here. We just got out of the Nintendo press conference, and I'm with Cheapy, Wombat, and Cherry from Axis Games.
Hey, what's up?
We are, I guess, just giving our thoughts on it. So we'll start with Cherry. What was your most exciting thing that you saw in there?
I got really excited at Kid Icarus. So we haven't seen Kid Icarus forever, and it almost brought me to tears because it's one of my games that are really close to my heart, so I'm glad they're doing it, even if his voice sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, it sounds like your typical Japanese role-playing hero.
Right.
But, I don't know. What about you, Chibi? You just seem stoked.
Oh, I'm totally stoked. No, I mean, I like the original Kid Icarus, but that didn't really look anything like it. It looked like they're turning it into like a... You know,
it looked like 3D Zelda.
Yeah,
with flying,
a lot of flying and shooting while flying, and I don't know. It didn't look like Icarus to me, but
all right.
We'll see.
Speaking of Zelda, Wombat, what did you think of Zelda, your beloved franchise?
It looks good. I mean,
really?
It looks all right. I wasn't in love with it. I really think Epic Mickey looks a lot better. I actually am interested in Donkey Konga. I like the 2D. I like the 2D side-scrolling Wii games. I think they do that really well.
The 2D stuff looks great. I think, like, the thing about Wii and 3D, everything kind of looks washed out still. Like, the Zelda stuff. Like, Metroid looked good in 3D, but the 2D stuff is what... That's still good.
Can we talk about how hunky Daniel Craig is?
Yeah. We can talk about GoldenEye.
It's
GoldenEye. We'll see how it holds up.
So is it a frame-for-frame remake almost?
It looked like it.
It's like the version of Psycho with Vince Vaughn, but instead it's GoldenEye with Daniel Craig?
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And I was the only one who actually got to look at the 3DS screen. And it looks really cool, actually. It's if you ever go onto a website and do like those build-a-cars on any like car manufacturer websites, and they let you look at the model of the car, like rotate it in 3D, it kind of looks like that, but it just jumps out a little. But that's kind of the effect. But it's really neat. And I have high hopes for the 3DS. It'd be nice to have seen more than one game. That's really it.
Well, they got a bunch coming. They had Resident Evil, Metal Gear, and
you know,
a whole bunch of stuff.
I can write Metal Gear on a PowerPoint slide also and say they're making it for my system. It doesn't mean that the game exists.
It may.
Yeah.
It exists in some form, but...
And I can't wait for E3 2015 when we finally see it.
Yeah, like, overall, though, I think, like, Nintendo had a much better press conference than Microsoft did.
I didn't walk out of there with a free system, though.
I know.
I'm not impressed.
The lack of free DSs was quite disappointing.
Did you go and they didn't give it to you? Were you there?
No, he's getting the 360 mail, too.
Oh, okay.
He's saying we didn't get it free.
That sucks. I mean, he just walked out and threw my damn system.
I'm just kidding. By the way, we're giving away five free Xbox 360 250-gigabyte consoles on GPSGamer.com. So go there right now.
All right.
Go Nintendo.
I thought it was 7.
5.
Do you want to plug anything for Axis?
I don't know. It's like, Blaze Blue! Woo! Go Blaze Blue! come on, guys. Yeah, Blaze Blue. Coming up this summer. Check us out. It's going to be awesome. You start seeing a lot of the stuff from us in the beginning of July. We'll be at Anime Expo this year. We are, I know E3's big for games, but our big time is Anime Expo. So before all the smoke's clear, Axis comes out. So look out for us.
Sounds good. All right.
I'll be looking out for the smoke. For the clear.
All right. We'll be back in a little while with Sony.
See ya.
Hey guys, it's Shipwreck. It is Wednesday morning, and I just woke up, and we got a lot of stuff to do today. In addition to our big party tonight at the Golden Gopher, everybody should come check it out. But I figured I would do this quick audio boo on some of the stuff that I saw or played yesterday, because the AT&T networks suck out here in LA, and it's hard to get stuff to post from the floor, and so your phones run down really quick. So we'll try to get coverage going out today as we see stuff, but it might have to wait until the following morning like this. But yesterday, the first day the floor was open, first thing I went and did was go check out Bulletstorm, because I didn't actually, they weren't setting up appointments for that, so I wanted to make sure that I got that in pretty early, because that was one of my most anticipated games of the show. And I got to play it, went to a little closed room they had there and played probably about 15-20 minutes of Bulletstorm. And if you don't know what that game is, it's all about, it's a first-person shooter where you just shoot people and try to rack up as many points as possible by killing them in interesting ways. And it definitely is going in the direction that I want it to go in from what I played. But it was a little bit limited at the moment, because I think there was only two guns, and then there was only like a couple different grenades. And it was really hard to get the feel for the audio, because they didn't realize how loud it was going to be in that room. So they thought we were going to have headphones, but we didn't. So we just had little computer-type speakers, and you really couldn't hear any of the prompts on where you were supposed to go or anything. So it kind of felt, the visuals and the level layout kind of felt like a Gears of War outdoor level, where it's kind of like a hedge maze of sorts going through there. But the actual combat's a lot of fun. I mean, they definitely want you to get a headshot. Build upon that, shoot a guy in the another guy in a crotch, make him drop to his knees, and then get another headshot, and then you have like this whip thing that you can tether people and pull them towards you, and that pops them up in the air, puts them in slow motion, so you can, as they're coming towards you, you can shoot them, and then when they get to you, you can kick them back up into the air, and then attach like a grenade that wraps around them, like with a chain around their body, and then wait until they get next to their buddies, and then detonate that grenade and get all kinds of, there's like a bunch of possibilities. So if they can make it so there's a lot of variety throughout like an entire game, because it is a single player story driven game, there are online components, but they wouldn't extrapolate on that at all. But so that was Bulletstorm. I'm still very much looking forward to it. So it seems like it's gonna be a lot of fun. After that, I went and checked out Quick Hit Football, which is a free-to-play browser-based game for Mac and PC. Not our typical thing, I know that, but this is the game that got the NFL license. So I was interested in checking to see how they did that and just seeing what it was like. How they got the NFL license was there was, I guess, a bit of a loophole that PC games, EA doesn't have exclusivity over those. So this game did get the NFL license. It, however, does not have the NFL Players Association license. So how that works is you can have up to 5 NFL players before you need an NFL Players Association license. So they do have 5 current NFL players. I know Randy Moss and Ray Lewis, definitely. I don't know who the other three are. But, yeah, there's also like 100 or so like former classic players, so you can have those on your team too. And the way the game works is you are a manager or a coach of a team, GM manager, and you train your guys, you go out and you select the plays, you earn new plays. It's an RPG for football fans, and you can buy microtransactions and stuff like that. So looked all right. I will check it out when the NFL version of it comes out in September. But more to come later. Hey guys, it's Wombat and Shipwreck here. We are sitting in the hotel lobby, but we figured we'd do a quick debriefing of what we saw at the Disney booth yesterday. So, since Wombat's the big Disney fan with his Mickey Mouse watch and everything.
Just jealous because it's awesome.
I'll let him. He tried out Epic Mickey, so thoughts?
I really want to love Epic Mickey, but and I've complained about this too many times, I have too much trouble trying to point and aim with my right arm to spray paint on things. Not that it was awful. Also, the camera is kind of hard. I mean, because you're not controlling the camera with an analog stick, they have it assigned to the D-pad. And for a 3D platformer, it's kind of annoying.
I've played games like that on the Wii before, and it didn't really... It's not that bad, because, like, Mushroom Man, I think, was that way as well. And this is very much a standard, like, 3D platformer / 2D platformer. I mean, if you're going to like that kind of thing, and you like Mickey Mouse... The graphics are kind of cool, like, how the paint's dripping off of him constantly,
yeah,
and everything.
I would like to see a little more shine in the graphics. I know
you're not going
to
see that on the Wii.
I think the Wii can do it. I'm not asking for anything the Wii can't do. I just think it needs a little more shine in the graphics.
I think it actually needs a little bit more shine in the animation too. Like you were playing the Steamboat Willie level, and he was like on the cow, but his feet weren't on the cow. He was just kind of like standing on top of it, and his feet were flat, but the cow was round. But I don't know if they'll fix that or not.
They probably not. Is it a good game? It'll probably be a very good game. Will it be a great game? I'm not so sure about.
Fair enough. Next up, we saw Tron Evolution, I think is what the video game is called.
It's the Tron game?
Yeah, the new Tron game. And we tried out mainly the light cycle stuff. I thought it looked all right. It needs more of a sense of speed. Like, you're going through an area where everything was de-rezzing, and you were kind of having to jump off this highway and everything and kind of dodge stuff. But thoughts?
This is where we disagree. I think it looked like a PlayStation 2 game. There was no sense of speed on the light cycles at all. And the third person felt like not Prince of Persia.
Yeah, the third person platforming / combat stuff needs... You're like running on walls and jumping over stuff. But it needs more frame rate or more animations. Like it just felt jerky a little bit.
It feels like a movie license game. It feels like what it is, and that does, you know, I don't know when the game comes out, maybe they'll fix a lot of these things in time, but for right now I'm not looking forward to it.
I'll play it, but it's not like high on my list. But as a Tron fan, it looks like it's gonna scratch a little bit of that Tron itch. I mean, whatever, if you're really into the license, yeah. One thing we can agree on is Guilty Party, which is a Wii game.
I really liked Guilty Party. I like Guilty Party a lot. This is, you know, a Wii game that I would actually go out as of right now. If you ask me what Wii game I would buy this year, it would probably be Guilty Party. I really like the idea. It mixes mini games and Carmen Sandiego and a little bit of a little bit of Clue.
Yeah, a little bit of Clue. It's I mean, mini games have a bad tone to them generally, but if you do them right and put them in an interesting environment, I think they're still fun.
And I really like the graphic style. It has a really nice look to it. This game has the shine that Epic Mickey should have.
I agree with that. It still has a very Wii feel, but the graphics look nice. But so that was our Disney coverage. We will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Shipwreck, Wombat, and CPD. We just got out of the Bethesda meeting, and they have some pretty good stuff. We saw, GB and I saw a presentation for Rage, and that's a new first-person shooter that looks similar in style to Borderlands. Okay, what'd you say?
Better, with better, sort of more
realistic looking graphics, not drawn, not like cel shaded style, like real visceral style, but definitely looks a lot like Borderlands. So
yeah, it's much more of a just straight ahead shooter, but you can like build weapons and cars and items and stuff. They had some cool turrets you can put out. The visuals on it are pretty impressive. And then after that, Wombat and I checked out Brink. And what are your thoughts on that, Wombat?
I really like Brink, probably more than I should. It's a team-based online multiplayer shooter with tons of customization, like customizable weapons and customizable... Really, you could customize everything from your character's voice to his hairstyle to his boots. And everything is upgradable and perks are upgradable. It has a really robust experience system. So it looks like it'd actually be a whole lot of fun to play with a bunch of people. Similar to Borderlands, but with a little more... Seems like Borderlands meets Team Fortress, if I do it.
Yeah, you have different classes, but you can change them out during the matches themselves or during the storyline. And you can go 8-player co-op through the story, which is really cool. I like the art style. I like the... You hold down, like, one button, and you kind of parkour over different stuff. Like, climbed up real high and then dropped down into to where the objective was. And then Cheapy also checked out Hunted.
Yeah, Hunted the what? The Reckoning, the Gathering, the Fighting?
Hunting the Fighting.
Something. I mean, it's basically it's Gears of War meets Golden Axe.
Yeah.
I guess.
Two-player co-op online.
If we're using other games to describe games that we just played.
Well,
yeah, it's really... It seems very early, though, so it's sort of hard to see about the polish of the game, but... You know, you got one character who's like the melee character and one character who's the range character with magic and bow and arrow. And, you know, you cover system, big character models, Gears of War meets Golden Axe.
All right, and then the last thing they had there was Fallout New Vegas. And I don't know, Wombat checked it out, I think, real quick.
Yeah, it looks like Fallout, but it's a new game. It actually is a little shinier, if that makes sense. But it looks a little bit better. But it's going to be really hard to tell if there's any issues with it without really playing the game. Because it's so recognizable as Fallout. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. But yeah. So that's Fallout. And we are getting ready to go see Sega. So we will talk to you guys later. All right, guys. We just got out of Sega. And we saw Conduit 2. Saw Conduit 2, Cheapy and I did. It looks better than the first. It still kind of feels like a science experiment on the Wii. Like, they're trying to make it a first-person shooter that's legitimate for the Wii, which is fine if you only own a Wii, I guess. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Cheapy, with pizza in your mouth?
I think that if you already own an Xbox 360 or a PS3, it's going to be hard to be impressed with the Conduit on the Wii. Just from the way it looks, I mean, you're just so limited in what you can do with that system.
Yeah, we did like the, at least I liked, I think GB did too, the shield gun that lets you store up your enemy's bullets and fire them back at them.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was good.
It's like in The Matrix when Keanu puts his hands up and says stop and all the bullets just stay in front of him.
Yeah. But what we really liked at Sega was Vanquish, and that is the new game from Platinum Games, and that is right up my alley. That's a... It's kind of a Gears of War covered base shooter, but very Japanesey.
It's like someone took a shmup and mixed it up with Gears of War, because that game is crazy. It's bullets flying everywhere. It has a really interesting control scheme. The jet pack thing, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's got a lot going for it. It seems like a lot of fun.
Slow-mo.
Yeah, it goes into slow-mo a lot. By jet pack, you mean knee sliding.
Yeah.
You slide around on your knees a lot. You don't fly, but you can punch giant robot things in the head and then go into slow-mo and shoot a couple things at them, change your gun, shoot some electricity stuff at them. It looks really good.
Yeah, the game is good for people that are used to being on their knees a lot. So
Right up my alley. Yeah, it looks good. The explosions look really good. And I think that's all we really saw at Sega. Wombat's really proud of that joke. He's very good at that joke.
Hey, no, I'm proud of the fact that Cheapy's still laughing at my joke.
I'm laughing at you, laughing at your own joke.
No, you're not.
All right, so we're going to go see some Eidos stuff. So,
Eidos?
Eidos,
Eidos.
Ubisoft?
Yes.
Das.
So, later.
Holy shit, did you just listen to this whole thing? Man, you are a true CAGcast fan. I salute you.